NBC News Radio, I'm Lester Holt. Fighting has intensified as coalition forces and insurgents battle for control of Fallujah. Three U.S. Marines are now confirmed dead in combat around there since Monday. 12 other Marines were killed in fighting in the town of Al-Ramadi yesterday. From the White House, NBC's Bob Kerr reports that President Bush is following events in Crawford, Texas.
The president was briefed early this morning on the latest developments from Iraq, and then a bit later there was a video conference hookup. The president and his national security team, also some of the top military brass, and the point man over in Iraq, Paul Bremer.
President Bush also telephoned British Prime Minister Tony Blair, who is coming to Washington next Friday. The White House spokesman says the U.S. remains unshakable in its determination to forge a free Iraq. The planned transfer of political power to Iraqis is set for June 30th. The Bush administration says it still plans to stick with that date. I'm Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
Olay Total Effects 7X salutes power poet Cynthia Adler as she gets aging off her chest.
My face? Oh, yeah, I love my face. But space and time have given me a line or more to score with all the things I have become and now I am. And since I still remain 19 or so inside my head, there's not a lot I haven't tried to match the outside to the in. I've peeled and scraped and retinade, I've pumice scoured, often prayed, I've sponged and honeyed, slathered, gored. I've even used an emery board. I won't give up. I'll never cave. A slave to years is so passé. I'll fix on love and what's sublime and kick the stats of Father Time. I am whatever age I play. And if they ask, I just don't say.
Defy aging one fine line after another. Olay Total Effects 7X has the power to fight seven signs of aging. It even moisturizes better than several major department store brands. Visit Olay.com for a free sample.
Good afternoon, partly cloudy, 60 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Another candidate is jumping into the race for the U.S. Senate. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Just getting a report of an injury accident, Mexico and Colorado Boulevard. Sounds like someone in a wheelchair was hit by a car there. Eastbound I-70 at Pecos, newest freeway problem. It's an accident as well. Could cause you some delays there. Biggest problem around town is an accident with injury, southbound Colorado Boulevard at Cherry Creek Drive South. Traffic is jammed back to Bayard Avenue. A car went off the road and into the water. A lot of emergency equipment still on the scene there trying to clean that up. Everything else around town moving along in good shape at the noon hour. D.R. Horton, America's builder of Melody Series, owned for under $1,000 a month. No down and no closing cost programs available. Visit MelodyLiving.com or give them a call at 1-866-MELODY-H. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, there's another hat in the ring for Colorado Senate seat soon to be vacated by Ben Nighthorse Campbell. This morning, Governor Bill Owens announced that brewery owner Pete Coors is entering the race on the Republican ticket. Owens says he spoke to Coors this morning. The announcement means that Republican Bob Schaefer has some competition for the seat besides Democrat Ken Salazar. Coors has not said when he'll speak publicly about his decision. This report brought to you by Vista Ridge. The independent panel investigating the CU football team and allegations it used sex and alcohol to lure recruits met again today. Reporter Bruce Morton reports on the testimony from Broomfield.
The players told the group about their experiences as recruits and hosts of recruits. All spoke of being at parties where alcohol was present, but that they neither consumed booze nor offered it to the recruit. They also said education for incoming players about what not to do regarding sex and alcohol has been stepped up in the past couple of years. The panel has until the end of the month to release its findings regarding allegations of sex and alcohol being used to attract football players to CU. Bruce Morton, Broomfield, Colorado.
The Picnic Rock fire should be 100% contained today. Higher humidity, even a little rain recently, have helped firefighters get control of the fire, which started a week ago today when a backyard trash fire got out of control. A week ago yesterday, the fire in Poudre Canyon has consumed an estimated 8,900 acres, destroyed one home and a garage. The number of firefighters on the scene has now been reduced to 55 from a high of more than 420. Meanwhile, state Forest Service officials say that because of the Picnic Rock fire, the state's emergency emergency fire funds have been exhausted. The fund, which had an estimated $335,000 before the fire in Larimer County began, now firefighters say they'll have to rely on the state government to release emergency disaster funds. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche start the first round of the playoffs against the Dallas Stars tonight at the Pepsi Center. Game 2 of the best-of-7 series will be here Friday night, games 3 and 4 in Dallas. Denver Nuggets are back in action tonight with the first of their last 5 games in the regular season. Nuggets are in Phoenix to play the Suns. Nuggets beat the Suns when they last met in January. Colorado Rockies won their opening day game yesterday, beating the Arizona Diamondbacks 6-2. Game 2 of the 3-game series is this evening at the Bob, with Jason Jennings on the hill for the Rocks, Brandon Webb slated to throw for the D-backs. Vista Ridge, a new community with championship golf, tennis, swimming, everything for you and your family, just 20 minutes north of downtown Denver, on the web at VistaRidge.net. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Award-winning news and Denver's most entertaining talk shows. Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We're the Style Matters gals, and we love to shop.
But sometimes we don't like to shop for the same things. For example, I'm sick of looking for thigh-high white boots for you.
Well, that's because you have a short attention span. But there are two boutiques where we both love to shop. Posh and the Perfect Petal at 32nd and Lowell in the Highland neighborhood.
These two boutiques are more than just gift shops. They sell almost anything your little heart desires, such as Anthony Shaving and skincare lines for men, stylish hats, the accessory for this season, dishware, and decorative home items.
How about unique floral arrangements, the hottest new skincare line called Juice, and a bridal registry, invitations, and gifts? It's all at the Perfect Petal and Posh.
Two incredible boutiques, Posh and the Perfect Petal, at Lowell and 32nd Avenue in the Highland neighborhood. Open Monday through Saturdays, 9 to 8, Sundays, 11 to 5.
We both love to shop there because they give great shopping.
I'm Mike Stenniford with the KNRC forecast of the Weather Channel. Looks like some much-needed rain on the way for the next several days for this afternoon. Intervals of cloud cover and sunshine. An isolated shower or thunderstorm is possible. Our highs low to mid-60s. Showers tonight, we'll see a low around 40. Showers will continue Thursday and Friday. Highs upper 50s to around 60. Now look for the weekend colder with a chance of snow. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenniford on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 60 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after, 12 o'clock. On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 3 o'clock this afternoon, and we have a wonderful guest in store for you. His book is on the bestseller list. The new book is called Sleeping Beauty. His name, Philip Margolin. He's going to be at Tattered Cover Lodo tonight at 7:30. Tomorrow, it looks like we're going to be joined by Laura Flanders, who is the author of Bushwoman, Tales of a Cynical Species. And in her new book, she specifically talks about Condoleezza Rice and how Condoleezza Rice got where she is. So I thought that given that tomorrow is the day of Condoleezza Rice's testimony, and I see that it's scheduled for 9 a.m. Eastern, so isn't that 7 o'clock in the morning, and she's going to go for about 2.5 hours. I'm going to set my alarm and try to watch it, and you do the same. I imagine she will be very smooth, because she usually is, although I'm hoping she's not. I'm hoping she trips all over herself. Tomorrow we're also going to be joined by Brian Greene, who is a best-selling author. His brand-new book is number 3 on the New York Times nonfiction list. The book is called Fabric of the Cosmos. Friday, we will be live from the Denver Press Club, and it is the baseball edition, so I can't wait for that show. They're always fun. The Press Club shows are lots of fun. You don't have to be a member to come in. Come in and have lunch on the days when I am doing the show from the Denver Press Club. You don't have to be a member to come in and have lunch. Normally you do, but the public is invited. And so is the public invited on April the 19th, which is a Monday night, 7 o'clock, Tattered Cover Lodo. I'm going to be leading a discussion of the book, Peace Like a River. It's the One Book, One Denver book that everybody is supposed to be reading and talking about. So I haven't begun it yet, but I am planning to do that. And that, again, is open to the public, and I hope I see you there. Next Monday, we're going to be joined by Craig Unger, House of Bush, House of Saud, the secret relationship between the world's two most powerful dynasties, and other things as well. So that's just a partial list of what's coming up. I want to begin by saying, first of all, I went last night to see The Merchant of Venice. I have not seen any Shakespeare in a while, and every once in a while I think it's good to go see some Shakespeare. You have to listen closely, but it is very good, and the fact that it's all held up so many hundreds of years is an amazement. It is anti-Semitic, but there's more complexity to the play than that. There are lots of stories going on in the play. The acting is wonderful. The performance is wonderful. The staging, terrific. Really good. It's a small stage, but they do a beautiful job. And I found myself fascinated. So this is Merchant of Venice at the Denver Center Theater Company. I think it's in the Stage Theater. It's going to be going on for a little while longer. And they have these various activities I noticed in the information that they gave me. There are various things. You can go to a performance, and it's in concert with a wine tasting, and there's the Club Denver Happy Hour where you get drinks and snacks with friends before the show, complimentary, and then there's a brunch prior to a Saturday matinee performance, and there are lots of things going on, so you might as well call the ticket office and find out what the tickets are, what's available, and what you can attend. But the Shylock was really probably the heart of the play. And the acting, the actor who played Shylock, he did a wonderful job. But it reflected the kind of anti-Semitism of the time. And yet Shylock is a complicated figure. You have sympathy for Shylock. I don't like the way it was resolved with him, though, because from my point of view, he got the short end of the stick. 303-382-1150. So anybody who's seen it, I'm interested to know what your thoughts are. I am intrigued to see that Pete Coors from Coors Brewery is going to enter the U.S. Senate race. It is a signal that Republicans are not happy with Bob Schaefer from Colorado Springs, and they obviously want somebody they think they can do better with. Can they do better with Pete Coors? As far as I can tell, you know, and I am new, so you have to tell me. Has he had any kind of a political career? We couldn't find any mention of it, other than to donate to campaigns. Has he actually ever held office? Why does anybody think he would be a great senator? He's the CEO of Coors Brewing, but so what? 303-382-1150. If there are two Republicans, does that further ensure that Ken Salazar will win the Senate race? Because the two Republicans have sort of, you know, split things up between them, split the vote. Or split the energy, let me put it that way, splitting the energy. What do you make of this, that Pete Coors, who has a lot of money, and so therefore can spend a lot of money, is going to run for Senate? Does he have a chance? Some Republican leaders have publicly expressed doubts about Bob Schaefer's chances against Ken Salazar, so they think Coors is going to be a stronger guy. Do you think that he's going to be a stronger candidate? Is he going to be a better candidate? 303-382-1150. That mom that we were talking about, who refused to have a C-section, she was pregnant with twins. One was born stillborn, one was stillborn at birth. The other was okay and adopted out. The state of Utah slapped her with murder charges because the doctors told her if she didn't have a C-section, she might risk both children dying. One did, but I don't know that there's a guarantee if she had had the C-section whether or not that second twin would have survived. Anyway, the woman accused of murdering one of her twins by failing to undergo a timely C-section pleaded guilty to two counts of child endangerment. It really is a plea bargain. She could receive 0 to 5 years in prison on each count and up to a $5,000 fine. So I think maybe they'll let her go. But it opens up the door to what if the doctor tells you you have to have open heart surgery, and you say, you know what, I don't want to do it. I don't care what happens, you say. So can the government compel you to have surgery for any reason? 303-382-1150. They tell you got to have surgery to save the life of the baby or you have to have surgery to save your own life, and you say, you know what, I think I'm not going to do that. Let's go with the phones. And Chester, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Enid, Peter Coors just joins a long list of other multimillionaires who feel they deserve a Senate seat simply by virtue of the fact that they have bags and bags of money. He's not necessarily the best candidate for the job. I am a Republican on it, and I support Bob Schaefer because he kept his word, unlike just about everybody else. When he signed a term limits pledge, term limits came up. He says, yep, I'm going to step down just like I said I would. So he passed up a job. He could have had lifetime tenure in that job as a congressman, just like Tom Tancredo. He signed the pledge. He said, I was only kidding. And we had the same thing.
He said, I had my fingers crossed when I signed that pledge.
Yeah, and the mayor of Denver said the same thing, to be in all fairness. Our previous mayor did the same thing. When it came time to step down, he said, no, Denver needs me too bad. I'm going to stay. So unlike all the other politicians, Bob Schaefer at least has proven to us that he can keep his word, and as tempting and as big a prize as being in Congress is, he said, nope, I'm going to walk away from it just like I promised you I would.
All right, now, Chester, what is Coors, first of all, the fact that Coors has jumped in tells us that Republican leaders don't have enough faith that Bob Schaefer can run successfully against Ken Salazar.
You're wrong on that, and I'll point out why.
No. I think that Republican leaders don't feel that he will be successful against Ken Salazar. I'm not saying whether he will or he won't, but the fact that they have encouraged Coors, and Owens himself made the Owens in between his extramarital rumors, found time enough to bestir himself to put Coors into the ring here, tells us that significant Republicans don't feel that Schaefer can cut it.
So let's go back a little bit. And just about every member of the House of Representatives that's a Republican supports Schaefer solidly. They're all right behind him in terms of House.
So then why is Coors jumping in, and why is the big gun Republican leadership behind him?
I don't think that all the Republican leadership behind him, just because Owens might be behind him, doesn't mean that the Republican leadership is in lockstep behind him. And second off, it's like I said earlier, the man has a lot of money, and he feels, I'm rich, I deserve it.
Has he ever held office before?
Never. He's been a big supporter of Republican.
And he's a very right-wing guy, isn't he?
Yes, and he's spent a lot of money on Republican politics in terms of supporting Republican candidates, but that doesn't make him qualified.
Has he been a successful CEO at Coors? Can he point to that experience? He inherited the business, but did he add something to it, or did he just keep it going?
Coors has been a successful dynasty for over the years, and whether it operated because of him or in spite of him, only the Coors family knows.
Okay, Chester, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Carl in Lakewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Just a couple points. Coors did have did bust the unions up there in Golden. And also, the main point is that the Coors family were big contributors, like Richard Mellon-Skaith, in investigating Clinton. So you can see how far right they are.
Are they more far right than Schaefer?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Oh, and so when he stands up, he tilts.
Exactly.
Has he got a chance?
Huh?
Do Republicans, do you think that Coors has a chance here against Salazar?
Well, I was surprised to find out that Colorado leans so much to the Republicans that he probably does. With his name, recognition, Coors, yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe he'll probably, instead of promising a chicken in every pot, he'll promise a beer in every refrigerator. There you go, Carl. I thank you for the call. What do you think about Coors? What is the signal? Does he have a chance against Salazar just because he's got a name? Does it mean that he can do the job? The state of Colorado is very much in play here. We are a swing state suddenly. The Senate seat is really up for grabs. The Democrats have a great chance at winning it. Salazar won, I think, his last election by about 20 points. I mean, he is a very popular guy, a proven commodity. And Coors has got a name, and he's got a lot of money, so I guess you can't discount that, but he's never been in office before, and I suppose he'll make a virtue out of that, saying that he's Citizen Coors, and, you know, he's going to go to Washington and clean up the mess. But what do you think the possibilities are if Coors run? What happens? I mean, start looking at the crystal ball, start reading the tea leaves. What is your take on how this will affect Salazar? Does Salazar, have a chance? 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
He's standing up for you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
In Ferguson Live, Sunday nights at 6, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
AM 1150 KNRC, Radio Disney, and the Denver Zoo are teaming up to celebrate the return of spring during Great to Be Green on Saturday, April 10th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Denver Zoo. Bring the whole family. There will be lots of great events for kids like a scavenger hunt, close-up encounters with wild animals, and an opportunity to learn how to help save animals all over the world. Great to Be Green this Saturday at the Denver Zoo, brought to you by Radio Disney and AM 1150 KNRC. Join our Voice at Work fraternity. It's growing every day.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, in the office, the car on the ride home.
If you support live and local radio for the Denver metro market, go to our website at knrcradio.com and click on the Voice at Work logo.
This is going to be the most astounding thing you've ever heard of.
If you listen to KNRC at your place of business, you'll get up to 10 free t-shirts for your employees.
Well, that stuff sounds pretty good.
When you sign up as a member of KNRC's Voice at Work program, our host will mention your business on the air as a local supporter of the station. Your place of business will be added to the Voice at Work portion of the KNRC website. We want all of our listeners to know the local places that support local radio. We'll also send you KNRC t-shirts, bumper static stickers, and commuter coffee mugs.
I mean, that's a great deal.
Go to knrcradio.com and join the Voice at Work fraternity. Another way to say thank you for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You guys are great. I love listening.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC.
Don't miss the 2004 Scout Show, Saturday, April 24th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the National Western Complex. The show is open to the public and will feature more than 200 interactive booths by local Cub Scout packs, Boy Scout troops, and community organizations. Highlights include a climbing wall, fishing, and dance and craft exhibits. Admission is just $2 for children and adults. Children under 5 are free. For more information, contact the Denver Area Council Boy Scouts of America at 303-455-5522 or visit denveracouncil.com.
The KNRC talk version of American Idol is Saturday and Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m.
Music makes the boss rosy and the rebel. Don't think of yesterday and I don't look at the clock. Like to boogie woogie.
Tragic. No, there is no singing involved, but we will be offering new talk show hosts for your review. Listen in and let us know what you think. More live and local talk than any other Denver talk radio station. AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are down at this hour. The Dow is down 93 points. The Nasdaq is off 15. Lee Fastow, wife of former Enron financial chief Andrew Fastow, will go to trial on June 2nd for filing false tax returns and conspiracy in the Enron meltdown. Her plea deal for 5 months in jail collapsed after a federal judge rejected it. Electronic airline ticketing is getting harder to avoid. Continental Airlines will eliminate all paper tickets by the end of the year, including those for multi-carrier flights. Many of the airlines have been charging extra fees for the paper tickets. Kerr McGee shares down 5% after the company said it will acquire a rival energy firm, Westport Resources, for about $2.5 billion. The deal will boost Kerr McGee's proven oil and natural gas reserves by 29%. After the closing bell, look for fourth quarter results from tech companies Yahoo and Research in Motion, which makes the popular BlackBerry handheld communicator. Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. If you're in the market for a solitaire, engagement ring, anniversary, or investment diamond, then shop around, get the best price, and then dial a diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Empire will advise you on size, shapes, and values. They'll sell you diamonds directly from the source without a middleman's markup. These diamonds are guaranteed to be priced at half the retail price. A diamond certification by the Gemological Institute of America will be faxed or mailed to you. For qualified buyers, your diamond will be sent to your home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection. Upon your satisfaction, you then pay for your purchase and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. Empire Diamond, located in the Empire State Building for over half a century, guarantees the lowest priced diamonds, 10-day free inspection, and money-back guarantee. Save over half on your diamonds. Call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Visit us at dialadiamond.com.
What do the newsmakers in Colorado think? Find out with commentaries mornings and afternoons with such movers and shakers like Senator John Andrews, Representative Andrew Romanoff, Senator Mark Hillman, and others. Listen mornings at 7:07 and afternoons at 5:07 exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:25 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and Pete Kurz has announced that he's going to run for Senate. And I want to know what you think about that and what his chances are and what's some background on him that might be relevant for the election. And also, I have to tell you, this is a personal thing, but when we were in Venice, there were seven of us who went to Venice, seven of us who didn't in the beginning know each other all that well. And so there was every possibility for all kinds of problems. And, you know, when you go, going to Europe, traveling is not always easy. And there could have been all kinds of anyway, we had a great time, and we all got along beautifully, and we've had a bunch of reunions. And part of what we did when we were in Venice, and I think I mentioned this before, is one person's friend is an opera singer who is living in a palazzo on the Grand Canal. It all sounds grander than it is, but it was really fun, and she had us over for dinner and drinks a couple of times, and she has a new baby, and she, as I said, she's an opera singer. So one of our group is connected to opera and arranged for her to have auditions in a number of cities. I think Boston, possibly Dallas, Colorado, and the opera singer already had an audition scheduled for New York. And so she's going to be here today. She's doing her audition. I hope she does a brilliant job. And my job was to make the ice cream pie. Well, I just sort of concocted this ice cream pie recipe, and I did it the last reunion we had, which was about a week ago. We're always having these reunions because we're enjoying each other a lot. And what I did was I am not much of a cook, as you may know, but I can put together things that actually don't poison people and seem to be successful. So I made a graham cracker crust. I put vanilla Häagen-Dazs ice cream in the Swiss almond vanilla. I took Enstrom's toffee, which I love. I think it's one of the best things Colorado does. And I broke it on top, you know, broken pieces on top, and then I drizzled chocolate. It really was successful. So I'm doing that again, but I'm going to do a second one because there are more people. And I'm doing the graham cracker crust with lemon sorbet, so it's lighter, and some berries. But the lemon sorbet was not so hot. It's Boulder, Boulder something, dairy or something, and I got it at Morrisick's, and they said it was really good, but it's very tart. And then I got some red berries, like raspberries, and they're very tart, too. So what to do, I let them soak in amaretto and some sugar, so I think they'll be a little bit sweeter, but I don't know what to do about the rest of it. I guess I'll put some chocolate on top and maybe some, I don't know if I should mess it up with Enstrom's toffee or not. So if anybody who knows anything about this stuff has an idea, please let me know, because I'm a horrible cook and I don't want to insult our Venetian guest, and she was so kind to us, and I don't want anybody to drop dead for my bad dessert. So if you have any ideas, I'd love to hear from you. 303-382-1150. But now on to more serious topics. Pete Kurz, who is the chairman of the Kurz Brewing Dynasty, is going to be the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate this fall. Owens really gave the introduction and opened the door to him. He's 57 years old. His candidacy would throw a twist. It is being reported into an already wild race. Former Representative Bob Schaefer has been the only high-profile GOP candidate in the race to replace retiring Republican Ben Nighthorse Campbell, allegedly retiring because of acid reflux. Are you buying that story? What is the story here? Why can't the Republicans get anybody strong to run? And what are the chances that Pete Kurz can actually win the election. He's got a lot of dough, so maybe that's all you need. Let's go with the phones, 303-382-1115. If you've never called a radio talk show before, consider doing it. I'd love to hear from new people. The audience loves to hear from new people. It broadens the conversation. You have the a possibility, if you call in, of affecting the outcome, of affecting the conversation. It's a virtually a free phone call, 303-382-1150. Bill, calling from Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. You're going to have to make that dessert at the press club some night. We'll all give you suggestions, you know.
All right. Well, yeah. Chef Daniel is going to toss me out.
Well, waddle back to work.
Well, the first one is good. It worked. Yeah. And I just only threw those ingredients together. This second one has got me stumped because it's tart, it's lighter, and I don't know how far to go with the chocolate and the toffee or maybe not. Oh, yeah. So I don't know.
Toffee might make it a lot heavier. I don't know.
So don't do the toffee. Everyone's saying don't do the toffee.
Yeah.
All right.
A couple of points on Peter Coors. He's got a lot more name recognition, I think, than Bob Schaefer around the state. Bob Schaefer was pretty much of a nothing congressman. He never really made many waves as a congressman. Peter Coors starred in a series of Coors commercials several years ago, in which it had him standing outdoors with a mountain backdrop, made him really look like a man of the land type of thing.
Trapper Peter.
He has some name recognition with that. Also,
well, and the brewery certainly has a lot of name recognition.
Ideologically, although, yes, the previous caller was correct about some of the far-right things they've done, financing the Clinton things and the Scaife-like things that he did. However, the Coors Brewery also was sort of a pioneer in extending benefits to same-sex partners. So,
oh, really? So
yeah.
Now he's going to be able to walk both sides of the...
He can. He can. The associations with him are kind of mixed.
All right, let me ask you. This is just a hit on this, just an intuition.
Sure.
What's your hit on Coors vis-a-vis, if you're looking right now, looking at Coors vis-a-vis Ken Salazar... What are you inclined to say?
Right now, still Salazar.
First thought, as Allen Ginsberg used to say, first thought, best thought.
Salazar, narrowly. I think there's a big constituency out there who would vote for Charles Manson if he had the R behind his name.
Well, then he might.
Especially in Colorado Springs, it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction. They'll vote for anything. They'll vote for, you know, Laffy with an R behind his name. But,
as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
All right, Bill. Well, I thank you for the you for the info, and I will try and make this at the press club.
Yeah,
but they'll throw me out first. The mortality rate will be high, I guarantee you. 303-382-1150. Adam, calling from Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. And I'd eat your cooking any time.
You would?
I would.
Well, you're getting the best. Can I tell you something? You're getting the best of it from noon to three. That's where I cook.
Peter Coors. You have a background of him busting the union back in the 70s. There was a whole boycott Coors campaign. It was very
what
bitter.
Union? What union did he bust?
Well, Coors is not a union shop.
What unions are we talking about?
I'm not sure what the exact union is. I guess some kind of food or commercial workers union. But he broke the union, and it was a bitter fight. And the other thing is how is President Bush going to come and campaign with Coors? How does that work? I mean, he's an alcoholic, recovering, and it just doesn't seem like a real comfortable fit. So that could pose a problem.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. They will find a way around that. They won't go near the alcohol part of it. They'll just say he's a fine citizen, an upstanding citizen, a member of a dynasty, two members of two family dynasties, etc. They'll sidestep the issue.
Well, and the thing that I wanted to point out was that union busting that happened in the 70s, and that could still hold some bad blood with some people. I mean, there's so many people who are so new here that, you know, most people probably didn't even know that. But
well, that will, I'm sure, come out in the reporting as reporters start to dig into Coors Pass. But what does he sound like? Does he make a good impression? What are his accomplishments aside from running the business that he inherited?
I'm not sure. And there's some environmental problems, too, with Coors, I think. as far as the water that they use and their impact on the environment could also come into play with people who vote. And, you know, those of us who have lived here who don't drink Coors, you know why, don't you?
Why?
Well, it's got a reputation for they used to call it goat urine. Because of the water that they use. So anyway.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that tasty picture. I appreciate
so
that.
Don't drink Coors.
All right. 303-382-1150. Oh, no. I came out of the wrong side of the goat. Jordan, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Jordan?
Yes.
Hi. Welcome.
This is my first time calling into any show. So.
Any show? Well, wait a minute. We have something. Oh. We have something for you. You get our cheesy little kiss that will transform your life instantly.
And thank you.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to make a comment before you were talking about the woman, and I believe it was Utah who didn't have the cesarean section.
Right.
And you made a point about the government being able to tell you to have open heart surgery. Now, I don't agree with the decision to prosecute her, but I have to say that I think it comes down to not government control over your body, but when you consider a child to be alive, whether or not you consider a child to be alive.
Well, I don't know if there would have been problems with that child even if they had gone in with a C-section, but I think it opens the door, Jordan, to the slippery slope of if you don't do what they tell you to do, you can get prosecuted for murder.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there, but I think that what they're prosecuting her for more, like you said, the plea bargain, child endangerment. So they were considering...
Well, they were, but she's been sitting in the pokey this whole time, I think.
Yeah. Yes,
This is somebody who is herself troubled. Apparently, she's been abused. Apparently, I mean, it's just one thing after another, and I don't know how much of it is her own making. Some of it is, some of it isn't. But the doctor tells her she's got to have a C-section, or she might lose her twins, and one is born alive and adopted out, and the other one is stillborn. And I just don't think it's right for the government to prosecute her for murder.
I agree with you there, but I think it's like the abortion state. When do you consider a child to be a child? When do you consider it to be a child?
Jordan, you're breaking up and we can't hear you, but I thank you for calling and I hope you'll call us again. 303-382-1150. Kathy Unicell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you.
Real quick, before I talk to you about Peter Coors, I love all of the authors and the book people you have and the book reviews. And I know you don't give us feedback, and that's why I listen to hear about the authors.
Thank you so much. I really get very little feedback on the authors and the guests that I have.
I
so
love it.
Do you?
The best part. Yeah. It's totally enlightening. I'm so glad to hear from other than the top five that sell. It's so nice.
Well, thank you. Well, I think we have a selection. We have the top authors in the country who come on the show, and very often they're live in the studio, and I am just so blown away by that. And really, it's because we're the happy beneficiaries of The Tattered Cover, which in today's New York Times was referred to as a famous bookstore.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
Are you there? Oop, I think she's dropped off. All right. Well, Kathy, call us back. We're going to need to take a break right now. Anyway, I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 12:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 61 degrees. Another hat in the ring for Ben Nighthorse Campbell's Senate seat. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Just getting a report of an accident at Colfax in Yosemite in Aurora. Sounds like a car has gone into a building there. Awful lot of emergency equipment will be on the scene there shortly if they're not there already. Again, that's Colfax in Yosemite. Southbound Colorado approaching Cherry Creek Drive south, getting back to normal after an earlier injury accident. Car went off the highway and into the water there. Freeways moving along in good shape this hour of the lunchtime rush. Nothing serious on the freeways to block your path. Maybe a little residual slowing around Alameda and Buckley because of an earlier accident. Now use your Verizon Wireless to download Alejandro Sanz's pictures and ringtones from his latest album, No Es Lo Mismo. To get Verizon Wireless service, call 1-800-256-4646. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Brewery boss Pete Coors will enter the race for the U.S. Senate seat, according to Governor Bill Owens. The governor says he talked to Coors this morning. Coors will challenge former Congressman Bob Schaefer for the Republican nomination. This report brought to you by Vista Ridge. Four CU football players testified this morning before the investigative panel that's looking into the recruiting scandal at the university. The players told the panel about their experiences as recruits and hosts of recruits. All said they were at parties where alcohol was served, but they say they didn't drink or offer any to recruits. Firefighters expect to have the Picnic Rock fire fully contained today. The fire began a week ago yesterday when a backyard trash fire got out of control. The fire scorched an estimated 8,900 acres and destroyed one house and a garage. Vista Ridge, a new community with championship golf, tennis, swimming, everything for you and your family, just 20 minutes north of downtown Denver, on the web at vistaridge.net. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1240.
Soon to be the most listened to station in Colorado.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
What the devil is that gosling noise?
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
For centuries, man has sought to beautify his homeland and protect it from unwelcome invaders. It took the Chinese over 1,600 years to construct the Great Wall, which established property boundaries, embellished the landscape, and protected its residents. But within a few weeks, Elkar Fence can expertly install one of over 50 styles of fence. For over 55 years, Colorado residents have turned to Elkar Fence to enhance the privacy and beauty of their property. We can also design a custom fence to fit your specific needs. Now is the perfect time to secure your home for spring and summer. Top-notch products, dependable service, and competitive prices have made Elkar the largest builder of quality fences in the Rocky Mountain region. Elkar is also one of the largest commercial fence builders in the area. Call Elkar today at 755-5211 for a free quote on your own attractive Great Wall. That's Elkar Fence, 755-5211.
I'm Mike Stenifford with the KNRC Forecast and the Weather Channel. Intervals of cloud cover and sunshine this afternoon with an isolated shower or a thunderstorm. Our highs in the low to mid-60s. Tonight some showers, our lows near 40. Showers continue off and on Thursday and Friday with highs in the upper 50s to around 60. Over the weekend, colder with a chance of snow, highs only in the 30s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenifford on AM 1150, KNRC.
61 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 1241. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Hear more live weekend talk than any Denver radio station. Listen for Ben Ferguson live Sunday nights at 6 p.m. exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1243 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we'll be joined later by Philip Bargolin. He has a brand new book out, which is on the bestseller list, the New York Times bestseller list, Sleeping Beauty. You can meet him at Tattered Cover, Low Dose, 7:30 tonight. It is a thriller. His last book was a bestseller, Ties That Bind, so it should be a lot of fun to read this book, and he'll be joining us live in studio. We're talking about the fact that Peter Coors has entered the race for Senate against the Democratic candidate, Ken Salazar, and also against the other Republican candidate, Bob Schaefer. What does it mean, and what do we know about Pete Coors, and do you think he has a chance? And is it enough of a chance? And is all his money going to eclipse all the good work that Ken Salazar has done? Because I'm going to tell you something. Colorado is very much in play, according to the polling I saw. And now the reporting, Kerry and Bush are, the last poll I saw, they were pretty close. They were sort of neck and neck, a virtual dead heat. And then if the Senate goes, if that Senate seat goes to a Democrat, whoa, I think that's really good news. Kathy, you're back. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, thanks. I did want to talk about Peter Coors, actually. I'm a native.
Uh-huh.
And in the 80s, we boycotted him and demonstrated against him because of his employment practices for minorities and women.
Well,
and Coors was actually sued for not advancing women or minorities into upper management.
Do they do that now? Did they make a change in those stemming from the protests of those years?
Actually, truth is, the reason I think that they gave the benefit, health benefits to, you know, same-sex couples is to avoid ongoing issues. They're very good at media. They're very good at playing to the public. And I will guarantee you, in his first speech, we'll hear him say, "My Colorado," because he thinks this is his state. And he absolutely believes that this is his source. This is, we are here to, you know, support his product. And I am very disturbed he's running, but all I can do is work against him and try to, you know, support
him. Are you a Democrat anyway, or would you have voted for Republican?
No, I would have voted. I'm independent. I would have voted for Ken Salazar regardless because he's a really good man who's done a lot of good work. And I would do anything to not support Bill Owens. I work within the courts and the judicial system, and he has bankrupted it in the state, and he's created havoc for us. And I do spend a lot of time trying to get him out of office. I can't believe
Have there been any juicy extramarital rumors running around the judicial branch?
No.
None? You haven't heard any about Owens?
He's a mom, not only within listening to you all, but he's not a good person. We were in a great situation with a surplus, and he threw it away. Just exactly what Bush did. I'll give you $82.50 back a year. You know, vote for me. Well, guess what? That we needed that for our infrastructure.
That's right.
We're ruined.
And you know what really gets me is what most people got out of it was they're lucky to get the value of a pizza a month out of it. It's nothing that you
Absolutely.
Would miss. But in the aggregate, it was a huge amount of money, and we are all suffering for it. I'm with you on
Absolutely.
That one, Kathy. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. 303-382-1150. Kathy from Masonville. Hi, you're live with Enid.
I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, I just wanted to say this really quick. I know the Coors family is behind the Heritage Foundation.
And the Heritage?
They're behind the Heritage Foundation.
Okay, and
they're the ones who founded it.
Tell us about the Heritage Foundation.
Well, the Heritage Foundation is a right-wing think tank, and I think a lot of them are right-wing Christians as well. And the former Secretary of Education, Bill Bennett, actually he did a decent job as Secretary of Education because he wrote Becoming a Nation of Readers, which the Bush administration should be listening to. But it's basically a right-wing, if you want to call it, intellectual think tank. And they've been,
You think it's not an oxymoron to say right-wing intellectual?
Well, I guess... I think you may have a point there. But
I may not.
That's all I wanted to let you know. I'm not a big fan of the Heritage Foundation, so I think there's some stuff going on.
Well, there's clearly a lot of money that Coors can bring to the table here. And
yeah.
So my question is, what are his chances against Salazar?
I don't know. It's such a Republican state, and the name recognition, I think it's going to be more of a horse race than it would be between the other guy that actually comes from where I live in Larimer County.
Bob Schaefer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Kathy, thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome.
303-382-1150. Kevin, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi there.
Hi, Kevin.
This is my first time calling in.
Wait a minute. Well, you're not a virgin anymore. You're not an Enid Live virgin anymore.
Excellent.
Welcome.
My call is just about Ken Salazar and the Coors issue here. I just wanted to say that I've known the Salazar family. Actually, I'm from the same area I grew up. I went to the same school with his nieces and nephews. I'm pretty young, and so are they, of course. But I just want to say they have an outstanding family. They're just the greatest people. His character shines through in his work, and it shines through in everything he does. As far as Coors goes, I think his founding, they did found a brewery a long time ago in Colorado. It's been a positive thing economically for our state. But as far as anything else that they've done for us, I don't see how, as far as being judged on acts, how he would be a good senator for our state. So I just wanted to make that comment.
But he's got name recognition. You know, here's what's and a ton of money. And here's what's very distressing. People don't ask what is somebody going to be capable. They look at George Bush, for example, Dickie, and they vote him in, you know, because his father was a president and because the implication was he would be surrounded by experienced hands who actually were so blinded by their own point of view that they couldn't see that terrorism would be an issue. Isn't that amazing? That's what's coming out now.
I'm baffled every day that he's in office.
I am too, and that I am too, and that there's, and that it isn't even, and that it's so close in the coming election.
That's what shocks me is that he's been able to fly under the radar, so to speak. People just don't see what he's doing. But if they don't look, I don't know if they don't watch. I don't know if
they don't want to see it.
Yeah, I think they're just too busy in their own lives. You know, they keep Americans busy and uneducated as possible, so that you know they can sway the vote where they need it to be.
All right. Well, Kevin, I thank you for calling. How did you find us?
I've been listening to KNRC for a while now, just about the last 5 or 6 months.
And were you just cruising and surfing and you found us that way?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
One day on the radio. I inherited an old Cadillac, and it has an AM radio, and that's all I can listen to. So had it not been for the Cadillac, I wouldn't be calling.
Well, we like to think that we're the Cadillac of talk radio, but...
I agree. It's the best one out there.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Tell your friends.
Well, I will.
Thanks a lot. 303-382-1150. Steve from Louisville. Hi, you live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Steve.
I think that people are mistaking Pete Kors for Joe Kors is dead. Pete Kors is a fiscal conservative, but he's pretty much a moderate when it comes to social issues. Now, Bob Schaefer is a social issues conservative, but also a fiscal conservative. So I would say that the Pete Kors is to the left of Bob Schaefer. As far as the vote with Salazar, one of the things that is troubling me is that no one's been asking Salazar serious questions about what he stands for. Now, I know a few things that he stands for, but even when he was confronted on the Jimmy Lakey show by being asked, the people that handled him told Jimmy Lakey not to ask him questions that were politics. So he's been able to.
Well, I don't know that that's true. But you're talking about Ken Salazar, and you don't know what he stands for. Do you have any idea do you have any idea what Pete Kors stands for?
Oh, sure, he's.
That already. So we already know you're Republican. You're going to vote Republican, and you bring up this dead old herring about nobody's asking you what Ken Salazar stands for. He's been in elected office for a long time here. He's much beloved by Colorado. He won his last election by 20 points. You're bringing up the weakest of arguments. Steve, of course, we don't even know. He just threw his hat in the ring 2 seconds ago. We have no idea what he stands for. He's never been elected to a public office, so we have no idea. But you are willing to say, I'm going to vote for him. I know what he stands for. But we don't know. Nobody asked Ken Salazar. We don't know what he stands for. I mean, explain that to me.
Okay, with Salazar, it's like I was saying on the Lady Show, they refused to ask him any political questions. But I know what he stands for. He's a pro-abortion candidate, which is going to cost him votes. What I'm saying is, as soon as he opens his mouth and actually says what he stands for,
been an elected official for a number of years now, and I think the state of Colorado has a very good idea of what he stands for. Whereas Pete Kors has just been in running for 5 seconds only, and you're going to vote for him because you know what he stands for. You know what, Steve? This makes no sense at all to me. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
As America continues its war on terrorism, AM 1150 KNRC is here with you.
The only way to defeat terrorism as a threat to our way of life is to stop it, eliminate it, and destroy it where it grows.
We'll update you when the government issues an alert, and this is the best place to talk about it. Talk about it. Hear both sides. AM 1150, KNRC.
Prevent crabgrass and feed your lawn this spring with Scott's Turf Builder with Halt's Crabgrass Preventer. It deep feeds your lawn and prevents crabgrass seeds from germinating. Available at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Mr. Goodwrench, who is this one and only GM expert? I'm about to find out.
GM Goodwrench, may I help you?
Yeah, hi. Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Goodwrench had over 1 million hours of training last year?
That's right.
Well, there happens to be only 8,760 hours in a year, Missy.
Excuse me?
Throws a little wrench into this whole Mr. Goodwrench thing over there, doesn't it?
Huh?
You like that? Wrench? It's a play on Goodwrench. I just made that up.
Find Mr. Goodwrench, the one and only GM expert at over 7,000 GM dealers.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Join the Cottonwood Connection at its fundraiser on Friday, April 23rd from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the REI Flagship Store. The event features an authentic Nepalese dinner and a presentation by Magda King. King, the first woman from Spain to climb a 26,000-foot peak, will share inspiring stories about her climbing expeditions on the world's highest mountains and her passion of building schools in third-world countries. Tickets are $45. For information, call 303-424-2300.
AM 1150 KNRC and the Denver Business Journal presents Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Tune in to KNRC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. to hear interviews with leaders like Charles Schwab, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Gloria Steinem, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These extraordinary individuals will share what made the difference in their careers and help them to establish their roles as leaders. Insights is brought to you by EKS&H Accounting and Business Advisory Firm and First National Bank of Colorado. He's president of the National Organization for Men.
This is getting scary.
He's the local chapter head of PETA, People Who Eat Tasty Animals.
Knucklehead.
He's bucking for president of Halliburton.
I'm here to make sure you don't say anything controversial.
Doug Kellett, afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
That's strange goings on.
On AM 1150, KNRC.
1255 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and I'm getting all kinds of articles, emails from many of you. Eric emails, Mary Cheney was a liaison with the lesbian, gay, bisexual community at Coors. So I don't know what that exactly signifies, although it signifies a Cheney connection. Coors and the Heritage Foundation, as one of you called and said, just be sure, this is from Larry. Larry said, just be sure you know that the Coors family provided the financing to establish the right-wing think tank Heritage Foundation. I'm sure they still fund it. Let's go to the phones. And to Ron in Evergreen. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. I was raised with Peter. We lived right across the creek from him, mm-hmm. and I went to kindergarten with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I know him personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Republican. I'm going to go to the caucuses, and I'm going to try and get Schaefer to run, and then I'm going to vote for Salazar.
Why?
Well, I can't.
But you're a Republican. Why are you going to vote for Salazar?
Well, because I came out of Colorado Springs, and I was a Republican, because if you weren't registered Republican down there, you didn't vote, you know. So I never changed my affiliation. And, you know, I'm a fiscal conservative, but Peter is a decent person, you know.
What kind of a senator would he make, since you know him?
I think he'd be good, but I don't like the politics. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's capable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a very, very capable person. And he's done a lot for Gold, and I, you know, I like the man. And, you know, I won't say anything against him. I will say a few items that were in there. Now, his connection with Heritage Foundation with his uncle Bill was the one that was in there. And they also did the Independence Institute, you know.
Yeah.
They were the people behind that. And also the Rocky Mountain Legal Foundation.
The Independence Institute and also the Heritage Foundation.
And then
that Independence Institute has got a lot of wacky people in there.
Yeah, and they
they got a really lot of people who are very wackomatic in that institute.
Yeah, you still have them going in there.
Okay.
And then the Rocky Mountain Legal Foundation, you know, remember Ann Burford and James Watts?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they were financed by them.
Oh.
And Mike Rosen used to work for them.
Oh. Well,
yep.
There you go.
So you know where it's going.
Well, thank you, Ron.
That's all I got.
All right. Thanks for the call. 303-382-1150. In Doonesbury today, this is controversial. I'm going to read you Doonesbury. you're seeing the outside of the White House and you're seeing a bubble and it says, Condi, what if I nickname Clark Stretcher? You know, because he's stretching the truth. Not strong enough, Mr. President, says Condi. I mean, this guy is the king of lies. Sir, do you know what he wrote about our first meeting? Of course not. It's in a book, says the president. He wrote, I gave him the impression I never even heard of Al-Qaeda. So the president says, well, have you? Oh, like you had. Careful, brown sugar. So he's calling in Doonesbury. You want to comment on that? We'll do this in the next hour because we're just about out of time in this one. But Gary Trudeau in Doonesbury is calling Condi brown sugar. What do you make of that? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Two more hours of Enid Live coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC. You can join the conversation. It's a free phone call. And you could have an effect on the conversation and the dialogue and the outcome right here on
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lester Holt. A military spokesman says American forces dropped two 500-pound bombs on the wall of a mosque in Fallujah, Iraq, where rebels were firing on U.S. troops. He says there was no damage to the mosque itself. With attacks on the rise in Iraq, NBC's Bob Kerr at the White House says President Bush is getting regular reports.
The president was briefed early this morning on the latest developments from Iraq, and then a bit later there was a video conference hookup. The president and his national security team, also some of the top military brass and the point man over in Iraq, Paul Bremer.
The White House says the violent flare-ups in Iraq won't weaken American resolve. Arizona Republican Senator John McCain says pulling U.S. troops out of Iraq would be much worse than keeping them there. It was apparently an accident, but the FBI is looking into yesterday's derailment of an Amtrak train in Mississippi, just in case. One person was killed and several were hurt. I'm Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
Olay Total Effects 7X salutes power poet Cynthia Adler as she gets aging off her chest.
My face? Oh, yeah, I love my face. But space and time have given me a line or more to score with all the things I have become and now I am. And since I still remain 19 or so inside my head, there's not a lot I haven't tried to match the outside to the in. I've peeled and scraped and retinoid, I've pumice scoured, often prayed, I've sponged and honeyed, slathered, gored. I've even used an emery board. I won't give up. I'll never cave. A slave to years is so passe. I'll fix on love and what's sublime and kick the stats of Father Time. I am whatever age I play. And if they ask, I just don't say.
Defy aging one fine line after another. Olay Total Effects 7X has the power to fight seven signs of aging. It even moisturizes better than several major department store brands. Visit Olay.com for a free sample.
Afternoon, partly cloudy, 60 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Another entry in the race for the U.S. Senate. I'll have that story in a moment, but let's check the roads now with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Roads are moving along in pretty good shape as far as traffic's concerned. No serious accidents on the freeways. A couple of problems off the freeways, though. One at Colfax and Yosemite. A car has gone into a building there. A lot of activity at that intersection. Again, Colfax and Yosemite. Traffic lights aren't working around 9th and Corona. That may very well be part of a larger power outage. Xcel Energy is aware of the problem. If you come across an intersection that doesn't have the use of its traffic lights, be sure and treat that as a four-way stop. That's what state law says to do. People want to be heard, and when it comes to customer service, keep Bank listens. Call 1-800-KEY-4038 today and tell them how they're doing. Key, achieve anything. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, Governor Bill Owen says brewery boss Pete Coors will run for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Ben Nighthorse Campbell.
I talked to him an hour and a half ago, and he is going to run for the United States Senate as a Republican. I think Pete Coors would make an outstanding senator. I think it's going to lead to a very competitive race in Colorado.
course, will challenge former Congressman Bob Schaefer for the nomination. This report brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Interim coach Brian Cabral and four players took their turns facing a panel investigating recruiting practices within the University of Colorado football program. The panel's trying to determine if alcohol and sex are used by the program to attract high school stars to CU. Buffs tight end Dan Jolly says the notion that a recruit would be drawn to Colorado because of parties is highly overrated.
There's always going to be a party. It doesn't matter if you're at a major Division I school that plays on television every week or if you're at a Division III school that's never on television. There's always going to be a party, so you cannot base your decision on that. That would just be naive.
Cabral says a life skills class is just one way in which the program has increased its efforts to educate incoming players on the do's and don'ts of sex and alcohol. The panel has to release its findings by the end of this month. State firefighters are getting some financial aid this summer. Governor Owens today authorized nearly $6 million for Colorado's Disaster Emergency Fund to help fight wildfires. Owens also said firefighting resources such as air tankers, helicopters, and inmate firefighting crews will go on standby immediately. The governor says the money is needed because of the dangerous fire situation facing the state.
We do know that we're still in the midst of a 300-year drought. Colorado State University scientists tell us that this is the worst drought we've had in 300 years, and we remain right in the middle of it.
The state spent $2.2 million to fight the Picnic Rock fire near Fort Collins that drained the emergency fund. In sports, the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs begin for the Colorado Avalanche on home ice tonight against the Dallas Stars. Game 2 is Friday night at the Pepsi Center before the teams head to Dallas for Games 3 and 4. Denver Nuggets play the first of their last five regular season games tonight in Phoenix against the Suns. When they last played in January, the Nuggets beat the Suns. Colorado Rockies are in Phoenix as well tonight. They're playing Game 2 of their three-game series with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Jason Jennings throws for the Rocks. Brandon Webb on the mound for the D-backs. Just because you don't see carpenter ants doesn't mean they're not trying to turn your house into a sack of sawdust. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin Man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
With the resources of NBC, CNN, News 4, and AP, along with local reporters on the ground.
I need it. It's there.
Stay in touch with what's happening in Denver and the Front Range with Dick Kelsey mornings and Tim McLaughlin afternoons, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get rid of high monthly house payments. Take advantage of some of the best interest rates in history, as low as 3.25%. Then call Western State Mortgage at 888-617-5255 and get a loan package custom tailored for your individual needs and lower your payment by hundreds of dollars per month. Start your 2004 with a financing solution from Western State Mortgage. Whether it's debt consolidation or home refinancing, Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad. If they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Western State Mortgage will guarantee your experience will be positive, so start your 2004 off right and call them now at 888-617-5255 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. 888-617-5255. Call them now, 888-617-5255. Western State Mortgage, your local refinance partner.
I'm Mike Stenniford with a KNRC forecast on the Weather Channel. Our weather pattern stays unsettled into the weekend. We'll see intervals of cloud cover and sunshine this afternoon with only a slight chance for shower or thunderstorm. Highs low to mid-60s. Some showers tonight, a low near 40. We'll keep showers in the forecast for Thursday and Friday. Highs upper 50s to around 60. Saturday and Sunday, colder, a chance of snow. Highs only in the 30s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenniford on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 60 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Later in the broadcast, in the 2 o'clock hour, Philip Margolin will be joining us live in studio. He has a brand new bestseller, Sleeping Beauty. He will be at Tattered Cover Lodo tonight. At 7:30, I will be at Tattered Cover Lodo Monday night, April the 19th, to help to lead a discussion on Peace Like a River. And the public is invited, so if you're around, I'd love to meet you. And I believe that that's at 7 o'clock. That is April the 19th, Monday, April the 19th. We've been talking about Pete Coors throwing his hat into the rings for the Senate seat that is being vacated due to acid reflux by Ben Nighthorse Campbell. And there's got to be a story behind that one, and we haven't read that in the newspaper. I also shared with you today's Doonesbury, and I don't know that I think this is very nice, to tell you the truth. I'm no Condoleezza Rice fan, but I don't know that it was right for Gary Trudeau to refer to her as careful brown sugar. It's like the president talking to her in today's Doonesbury, or in anyway, a recent Doonesbury. So, yeah, actually, is today the 7th? If today is the 7th, it's today's Doonesbury. What do you think about that? I don't like to go there with Condoleezza on that point. I just think that she's not capable. She was a Russian specialist. She's been brilliant at inventing her own career. But what really has she accomplished? And particularly in this administration, where they were blinkered to begin with. All they knew was the Cold War. They didn't believe that there was such a thing as non-state supported terrorism. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. They're still trying to work out Condoleezza Rice's tone in the testimony tomorrow, which I think is going to start, it says 9 o'clock. CNN was advertising that they were going to carry it starting at 9 a.m. Central, Eastern Standard Time, which would be 7 a.m. Mountain Time. So I guess you're going to have to get an early start and watching it, and I'm going to try and watch it too. The White House, one of the things we talked about yesterday was all the mercury that the White House has sort of bypassed the professionals in the EPA in order to relax the rules so that there's more mercury allowed in the environment. They've essentially let the lobbyists write the legislation governing things like mercury. And so here is the New York Times today, this story. While working with EPA officials to write regulations for coal-fired power plants over several recent months, White House staff members played down the toxic effects of mercury. This is according to hundreds of pages of documents and emails that this reporter has been looking into. But scientists, environmentalists, and so forth have expressed concern that a host of subtle changes by the White House staff have resulted in proposed rules that play down the health risks associated with mercury from coal-fired power plants and played up the uncertainty. In one instance, a draft passage originally read, "Recent published studies have shown an association between methylmercury exposure and an increased risk of heart attacks and coronary disease in adult men." That sentence was changed to, "It has been hypothesized that there is an association between methylmercury exposure and an increased risk of coronary disease. However, this warrants further study, as the new studies currently available present conflicting results." Don't you think that's interesting? In another case, a toxicologist at the Office of Management and Budget recommended changes to a sentence saying that children exposed to mercury in the womb are at an increased risk of poor performance on neurobehavioral tests. The final sentence that was published said children may be at an increased risk. And that pattern was repeated a number of times. And so, in other words, they would soft pedal any possible damage to the EPA, and they would bypass EPA professionals. So let's look at the pattern here. If we're looking at the pattern of a lying administration, start with weapons of mass destruction. Go to how much the Medicare prescription drug benefit reforms would cost. By the way, seniors get almost nothing there. But the drug companies, the pharmaceutical companies, and the HMOs, the insurance companies, are getting a fortune. They're getting everything they want, and we're all getting bankrupted. Seniors who are now qualified for Medicare, they're going to get very little out of this thing. And the whole program is going to be bankrupted by, 2016 or 2019, if it continues the way it is now, because of these changes that they have made. And a lot of conservative Republicans were not going to vote for these changes if it cost more than $400 billion, and the administration has assured these conservative Republicans it wouldn't be more than $395 billion, even though they knew that it was going to be between $500 and $600 billion. The chief actuary, Richard Foster, was threatened with being fired if he answered Congress's questions honestly. Now, think about this. Congress works for us. They are our representatives. We have a right to know. But the administration did not want us to know, nor do they want us to know how dangerous mercury is in the environment, and they're doing everything they can to soft-pedal it. And their MO is to take any kind of scientific information and talk about how there's really no agreement, there's a conflicting studies, it's up in the air, we don't know for sure. In the meanwhile, more more mercury in the air. Gee, I hope I'm not coming down with a sore throat. Maybe I could be doing these 900 numbers. That's what I'll do with this voice. Anyway, so this is what we know now, that the White House has minimizing the risk of mercury in proposed rules. So when they put together a program like Clean Air, it really means it's a lot dirtier than they want you to know, and it's a lot dirtier than what the Clinton administration had proposed. So here you are, an administration that says, as it's unraveling each day in Iraq, more and more fatalities, more and more casualties, more and more hideousness, grisly fighting in Iraq, the administration is quoted in every single cable news source saying, we're going to hang tough. No, they're not. They're running out the minute they can go. They're going out in June or July. We're going to hang tough. No, they're not. They came in when they shouldn't have, and they're leaving when they shouldn't be. I mean, I don't know what the answer is to that question. I don't want to see us in Iraq, but they've got to get some better structure going on right now. And people are theorizing that as it unravels in Iraq, this is not a very good thing for Bush and his reelection prospects. But, you know, people have said that before. And now you've got a guy quitting in Washington, the court-appointed investigator, who's been seeking for more than 3 years to determine the finances of an Indian trust fund administered by the Interior Department, resigned yesterday. Or Monday. He said that the government had routinely allowed energy companies to shortchange Indians on royalties from oil, gas, timber, and other leases. He also accused the department of a persistent effort to impede his work and said he had found a systematic failure to properly monitor the activities of energy companies acquiring oil and gas. So when there were royalties paid, people who were not Indians got a whole lot more money than Indians did. And this investigator, who is a court-appointed investigator, kept bringing it to the attention of government officials, and he finally just quit in protest. He said, the agency, he says, in recent months I have reported evidence of a practice abetted by the Department of Interior of energy companies routinely paying individual Indians much less than they pay non-Indians for oil and gas pipeline easements across the Southwest. He also discovered that the government had destroyed the valuable trust information and that it had significant problems with its appraisal and record-keeping practices. He also says that the computer system is not safe and that it could be hacked into. 303-382-1150. Don in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How you doing today, Enid?
I'm doing well, Don.
Oh, that's good. I was calling about the problems that's going on in Iraq, you know, today and yesterday with all of the American soldiers dying and a lot of Iraqis dying, being attacked in mosques. And as a Muslim, it's very frustrating to see this type of news. But does anybody ever wonder to ask, how did this whole cycle of violence start in Iraq?
Well, you mean answer the question.
I mean, with this guy, El Sadir, who is this guy? And, you know, I was reading the New York Times this morning, and I got deeper into the story, and I found out that this guy is not really a Saddam Hussein supporter or loyalist. His father was killed by Saddam Hussein in 1999. And when the Americans came in, he supported the American occupation. But he had a newspaper, and as the occupation grew on and on, he started criticizing the occupation. They closed down his newspaper last week, and they jailed one of his editors. They started off by having peaceful protests in front of a American consulate and different places, and the Americans attacked and killed the protesters. And that's when this young clergyman told the people to rise up and start defending themselves. And now they're trying to play it off in the media like this guy is a big terrorist and a Saddam Hussein supporter.
Well, I don't know. I don't know enough about him. I know he's got a lot of people who are supporters, and supposedly he's rabble-rousing, but I really don't know.
But nobody takes time to really read and investigate why these people are. I mean, do you think that just this person just woke up one day and said, by the will of Allah, we're going to kill all of the Americans? No, America was over there, and they're provoking those people. And even the Sunnis and the Shiites are now uniting and attacking Americans. And it's a bad situation, and nobody's addressing it.
So what's the answer, Don?
The answer is educate yourself about what's happening. Take time to read. I mean, you say it every day.
I say it every day, and here's what's happening. I'm preaching to the choir because I think people who are listening, this is what we know about people who listen to talk radio. They're what you call upper demo people. They are smart. They are they're better educated. And even if they're not, they're people who are interested in things. They have a curiosity. Even if you have not gone to college, but many talk radio listeners have gone to college. They've had some college, have graduated or graduate degrees, or some of them are professional people. The income demographics are very high for talk radio listeners. And even if you haven't gone to college, I think if you are interested in talk radio, it's because you have a mind that wants to engage itself, and you have a lot of curiosity, and you want to read, and you want to know what's going on in this world. So
we have
a brighter audience. I think people who are already listening to talk radio, given, you know, with the exception of some of these ditto heads that call in from time to time, are people who are pretty aware of the issues, or if they're not aware of the, or if they haven't had time to read extensively, they know that if they tune into Enid Live, I will have read very extensively. I can't know everything, but I can give you a pretty good overview on a lot of different areas, and you, in turn, have given me a pretty good overview on a lot of different areas.
I'm just saying, for people that's interested out here to really go into that story, because this guy was no Saddam Hussein supporter. This guy's father opposed Saddam Hussein and was assassinated.
But he is a big threat to what's going on for us in Fallujah.
Yeah,
he's got a huge following, and there's a whole lot of anti-Americanism. I'm not saying whether it's warranted or not.
I mean, this is the equivalent of, you know, somebody coming and shutting KNRC down, and then we all go downtown to protest them shutting KNRC down because that's our voice, and then the police shoot people down in the street. And that's what caused this uprising over there and people not addressing that. You pretend to give people democracy, and then when people open up a newspaper and they're critical of the occupation, and then you respond by, you know, bloodshed and murder. And that's the situation that's going on over there.
I want to switch before we say goodbye to each other to the Doonesbury cartoon. Did you hear me talking about that?
Yeah, I did.
Where Gary Trudeau has a fake conversation between the president, Dickie, and Condoleezza Rice, and he says to her, she says that Gerald Clark wrote, Dick Clark wrote that I gave him the impression I never even heard of Al-Qaeda. And then Dickie says, well, have you? And then Condoleezza replies, oh, like you had. And then the president says, careful, brown sugar. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, there's always been this implication that, you know, Condoleezza Rice has this special kind of relationship with George Bush.
She spends weekends with him and Laura every weekend, most weekends.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, a lot could be said about that, but I have no respect at all for Colin Powell, nor do I have any respect for Condoleezza Rice. Both of them, in my opinion, are two boot-licking Uncle Toms that are helping these people maintain white supremacy. But I just want to address something. When conservatives and liberals don't like black people in those particular positions of power, they always bring up the race card. And I've been noticing conservatives and liberals, you know, throwing her race out there like she's this black woman that's ignorant, that's unintelligent. And, you know, to me, it's like these conservatives, they put all of these black people. You know, when I watched the Republican convention back in 2000, I thought I was watching the Soul Train Music Awards. They had all of these black people up there singing and dancing and stuff, and they used them to get elected. And then when they got elected, you know, they treated them like the house Negroes that they are. So I don't have any sympathy for Condoleezza.
Well, I'm with you. I'm with you, Don. I'm a little bit offended. I like Gary Trudeau's work a lot, but I'm a little bit offended by this one. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Do not change the channel.
Not your grandfather's talk radio station. We're yours.
We're yours.
The new generation of Denver talk radio can be found here. AM 1150.
AM 1150.
Lock it in.
For centuries, man has sought to beautify his homeland
and protect it from unwelcome invaders. It took the Chinese over 1,600 years to construct the Great Wall, which established property boundaries, embellished the landscape, and protected its residents. But within a few weeks, Elkar Fence can expertly install one of over 50 styles of fence. For over 55 years, Colorado residents have turned to Elkar Fence to enhance the privacy and beauty of their property. We can also design a custom fence to fit your specific needs. Now is the perfect time to secure your home for spring and summer. Top-notch products, dependable service, and competitive prices have made Elkar the largest builder of quality fences in the Rocky Mountain region. Elkar is also one of the largest commercial fence builders in the area. Call Elkar today at 755-5211 for a free quote on your own attractive Great Wall. That's Elkar Fence, 755-5211.
AM 1150 KNRC, Radio Disney, and the Denver Zoo are teaming up to celebrate the return of spring during Great to Be Green on Saturday, April 10th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Denver Zoo. Bring the whole family. There will be lots of great events for kids like a scavenger hunt, close-up encounters with wild animals, and an opportunity to learn how to help save animals all over the world. Great to Be Green this Saturday at the Denver Zoo, brought to you by Radio Disney and AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Jennifer Swaw, CNBC Business Radio. The markets are coming off their lows of the session. With about 40 minutes left until the closing bell, the Dow is now down by about 50 points to 10,521. NASDAQ lower by 2 to 2,058. Seagate Technology has been a drag on the markets today. Shares have been down by as much as 12% after the computer disk drive maker said quarterly earnings will fall sharply below expectations. Crude oil futures rose the most in 2 months today to more than $36 a barrel. The Energy Information Administration said inventories unexpectedly fell from a 19-week high last week. A financial analyst says Microsoft's Xbox sales have more than doubled since a $30 price cut last week. The video game console now costs $149.99. Rival Sony is expected to make a similar pricing move on its PlayStation 2. Again on Wall Street, Dow lower now by 48 points. NASDAQ down by 2 points, right now at 2,058. I'm Jennifer Slaw, CNBC Business Radio.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. If you're in the market for a solitaire, engagement ring, anniversary, or investment diamond, then shop around, get the best price, and then dial a diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Empire will advise you on size, shapes, and values. They'll sell you diamonds directly from the source without a middleman's markup. These diamonds are guaranteed to be priced at half the retail price. A diamond certification by the Gemological Institute of America will be faxed or mailed to you. For qualified buyers, your diamond will be sent to your home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection. Upon your satisfaction, you then pay for your purchase and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. Empire Diamond, located in the Empire State Building for over half a century, guarantees the lowest priced diamonds, 10-day free inspection, and money-back guarantee. Save over half on your diamonds. Call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Visit us at dialadiamond.com.
What will everyone be talking about around the coffee pot or the water cooler at work?
Would you please turn on your radio?
You better find out. Jimmy Lakey, Dick Kelsey, and Tony DeZiri.
It's a perfect way to start the day.
Mornings exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
127 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Philip Margolin will be joining us live in studio in the 2 o'clock hour. Everybody's getting ready for the Condoleezza Rice testimony tomorrow. They're only going to get her once. They're going to get her for only about 2.5 hours. Then they can't have any other White House people. That was part of the deal, so they better ask all the right questions. It's being reported that she's trying to get her tone just right. So we'll see what happens there. It's going to be a juicy moment to watch what goes on, although she's pretty savvy at these kinds of appearances. But we'll see whether the commission really holds her feet to the fire. And we've been talking about Pete Coors, who has thrown his hat into the ring. He's going to run for Senate. He's a Republican. Looks like Owens is kind of giving him a subtle endorsement. 303-382-1150. Bob calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey.
Hey, Bob.
How are you doing?
Good.
I was just kind of doing a follow-up call on what that Don guy was talking about. I think it'd be really interesting if what he says is right, to really check and see what the deal is I mean, you know, I was just sitting last night at home and I was watching something on Allende and Pinochet and all that stuff, you know, down in Chile. And it was interesting to think, you know, if this is this Don guy, what he says, you know, is true, then...
Bob, tell me what your point. Tell me what your point is.
My point is that maybe here's this wonderful guy that, you know, we're smearing and you know, saying we need to, like, kill this guy and he's responsible for killing Americans in Fallujah or whatever he's responsible for. And maybe he is somebody that should be, you know, they've only got till June 30th to get a government. What's wrong with this guy, maybe, other than, you know, we want to kill him?
Are you glad that we went into Iraq?
Hell no. I had impeached George Bush things I was handing out in Golden, you know, a month before. But, you know, it's...
Are you doing anything to work?
I'm still passing these.
Are you going to do some volunteering for the Democratic Party?
Pardon?
Are you going to do some volunteering for the Democratic Party?
Yeah, I mean, my wife's never done much, but she said that this time she's going to do stuff just so George W. doesn't get back in.
Good. Let us know what happens, and thanks for the call. 303-382-1150. We're talking about, are you glad that we went into Iraq? Look at what a mess it is. I'm getting a bunch of emails from some of you, so let me start sharing them. I saw a story in USA Today about how we have become a nation of caregivers, as though because there are a lot of adults providing for their parents these days, not willing to put them into nursing homes. I never would have done that to my mother or my father. Who never lived long enough, really, to go into a nursing home. But I wouldn't be doing that. And I think parents or people who take care of their parents are, you know, they're doing God's work. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. I think you put somebody into a nursing home, you're really warehousing them. So, and then the Pope has declared that feeding tubes are a moral obligation. And he is making that directive to vegetative patients. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where someone is terminal, they stop feeding them. And they also stop hydrating them. They don't give them any water either. They just let them die. I know it sounds pretty barbaric, but the Pope declares that feeding tubes are a moral obligation. So what happens if you continue to feed somebody who's in a vegetative state and they're never going to come out of it? Do you not prolong their misery? 303-382-1150. Then I get these emails. Let me see if I can find it now. This is an email from Jennifer. Jennifer, there were allegations made about Ken Salazar and Jimmy Lakey when he appeared on Jimmy's show. This is from Jennifer. Jennifer says, I happen to know Ken Salazar and know about the situation surrounding his appearance on the Jimmy Lakey show. Basically, Ken would have answered political questions on the Lakey show if Jimmy had asked them. In fact, Ken was a guest on the Walmart across the way the same day and did answer issue questions. Actually, they sort of grilled him. Jimmy's refusal to ask Ken questions was something that actually got blown out of proportion by Jimmy, which is really not that shocking. It was probably more like Ken would have preferred not to talk about issues, but he would have if Jimmy had asked. So this is according to Jennifer, who says she knows the story. Ryan emails in and says, I'd like to ask women who would vote for Pete Coors. What do you think about the advertisements run constantly by Coors that are clearly degrading to women? For example, the Twins commercials, the Wingman commercial, women wrestling in scantily clad clothing commercials. What about those? And many more. If I were a woman, I'd clearly vote for anyone but Coors. All right, so that's from Ryan. Then Harmony wants to know, Rice should be asked about what she did on the morning of 9/11. Under its agreement with the White House, in order to have Rice testify, the commission is forbidden to ask any administration official to testify in any future public hearings. So, if any of the 10 commission members want any White House official to speak to the country about what happened on 9/11, he or she better ask those questions tomorrow. 303-382-1150. Kevin, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I wanted to respond on the issue of am I happy that we went into Iraq, I believe was the question you were asking some people.
Yeah, and we spent about $200 billion so far.
Oh, I know. Well, I wanted to say, I want to make the argument that the Republicans seem to believe that we're afraid to make, and I'm not afraid to make it, and that argument is, no, I'm not happy, and yes, we would be better off if Saddam Hussein was still in power. It's clear. We disagree with his ideology, of course, but the reality is, we killed many more Iraqi civilians in a very short time than he would kill in quite a long time to come. He never posed any threat to us, and had we not gone into Iraq, those 500-plus Americans who died would still be alive, those thousands of wounded Americans would still have their limbs, and it would be better, yes, if Saddam Hussein was still in power, I'm not afraid to make that argument, and the Bush administration needs to realize that other Democrats won't be afraid to make that argument as well.
Kevin, I thank you for the call. You made it very well. 303-382-1150. Let's head over to Denver. And Charles, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid.
Hi, Charles.
This is Chuck the lawyer. I don't know if you remember me or not. But anyway, you said, should we have gone into Iraq now that we're faced with this supposed quagmire? And I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have opted to be involved in a war that lasted for 4 years, cost 600,000 dead, and resulted in a 12-year entrenchment following the war?
It's a trick question, and you're probably talking about World War II.
No, I'm talking about the Civil War.
Charles, we're not talking. All right, tell me about going into Iraq. Keep it specific to Iraq.
Okay, let's keep it specific to Iraq.
Yeah. The Civil War was a whole other bag of snakes there.
Nah, you're right. It was a bag of snakes, and it resulted in some significant partitions that exist today. But my point with this is, if we didn't go in, then Saddam Hussein remains in power.
Right.
He remains as a divisive force in the area. Number one. Number two, now that we're there, and I don't agree that it's a quagmire. I don't agree that it's that it's going to be bad for us. It's bad in one area. If you look at the Shiite area down in Basra that the British are controlling, it's nearly pacified. If you look up in the area where the Kurds are, it's better than pacified.
All right, now let me. All right, I'm going to stop you because you said that Saddam would have remained a divisive force, and that it is not. You say you believe that Iraq is not a quagmire, even though the reporting would have us believe that there are plenty of quagmires there left. What about the business of why should we have gone after Saddam to begin with? He was pretty much handcuffed and under scrutiny. He was not a direct threat to us, and he had nothing to do with 9/11.
He doesn't have to be a direct threat.
Why didn't we go after Afghanistan? Because in going after Iraq, what we have allowed Afghanistan to do and Al-Qaeda to do is to regroup. We've taken our eyes off of them. They have record poppy crops right now financing more terrorist activity. We have not, what going into Iraq has also done is been a recruiting magnet for jihadist terrorists everywhere.
In the first place, the jihad terrorists don't need a recruiting poster to join to fight anybody.
And we've drained the monies have been enormous to go into Iraq, a couple of $100 billion. They never said that. They sold the war on false pretext. Our first responders are in Iraq, so that means that we are weakened at home. That money that could have been used to shore up our own defenses at home is not available to us.
Okay, first,
in every way, this was a disaster.
Do I get to talk? Okay, first of all, a large portion of the money that allegedly is spent, that they say is spent, is the pay and allowances that go to the soldiers. Guess what? Those pay and allowances are spent whether those people are in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, or Iraq, or Afghanistan, or Kosovo.
The administration tried to cut what they pay for people in combat zones.
No, they haven't.
For the soldiers. Yes, they have. They've tried to do that. They've tried to cut the amount that you get if you're in a combat zone.
They can. It's established by statute. If you're in a ground combat zone, and they've declared Iraq and Afghanistan to be ground combat zones. And I will agree, there's certain areas that are not considered ground combat anymore, like Kuwait, or I think it's Qatar, and there might even be some parts of Saudi Arabia. I don't think we're there anymore. But those two areas are not considered ground combat, so they don't get the tax-free payment.
All right, so tell me why you think this was a great idea, because I still don't get it, Charles.
Well, I mean, you're not going to get it, no matter what I say.
Well, and I can say that about you, too, because you haven't made a cogent argument. And all I can see is the drain of resources away from people who are actually the terrorists in every single way, whether it's men or materiel.
We're still in Afghanistan. We've got...
Barely. We have been away for 2 years. We had an elite special forces. Go look at the New Yorker this week. Go. You can get it online. Seymour Hersh's piece. He won a Pulitzer for his My Lai reporting, and he talks about Afghanistan. Afghanistan and what a botch we have made of it. We took our eyeballs off. We had an elite special forces unit there who could actually speak the languages. They were making friends. They were making inroads with the warlords. They were plucked out of there and sent to Iraq, and that was just emblematic of only one horrible thing that happened. We took our eyes off of Afghanistan, and now the warlords are more powerful than ever. Hamid, whatever his name is running Kabul. He's like the mayor of Kabul. He hardly has any power at all. The warlords are running it, and more terrorism has been allowed to get itself organized there,
okay,
and to become a huger threat. Very quickly, because we've got to take a break here.
First, there are four special forces groups, 10th, 3rd, 5th, and 7th. The 10th group is in Turkey and northern Iraq. The 3rd group and elements of the 5th group are still in Afghanistan. You just don't hear about it.
Charles, I want you to read, you know, arm yourself. I want you to read the Seymour Hersh piece, and then let's get back to me and we'll talk about it. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 1:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 59 degrees. There'll be another name on the Republican primary ballot for the U.S. Senate. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Southbound Union at Alameda Parkway. We have an accident, maybe some injuries involved there. In any event, two lanes are blocked. They're trying to get some tow trucks in there as quick as they can to move the wrecked cars out of the way. First and University in Cherry Creek, a minor collision just coming in. Everything else around town moving along in very good shape. Haven't had any serious freeway problems in the last hour and 45 minutes. Hopefully that trend will continue for a long, long time. April is Car Care Month. Mr. Goodwrench reminds you of the importance of keeping your GM vehicle in top condition. Visit GMGoodwrench.com to find a dealer near you. Mr. Goodwrench, the one, the only GM expert. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Governor Bill Owens says that Pete Coors will be running for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate seat that Ben Nighthorse Campbell is leaving at the end of his current term. The governor says he talked to the brewery boss this morning. This report brought to you by TV Guide. CU's interim football coach and four football players testified today before the independent panel that's investigating the recruiting scandal at the university. Coach Brian Cabral told the panel that a life skills class is just one way the football program is educating incoming players on the do's and don'ts of sex and alcohol. State firefighters get a financial boost from the governor today. Governor Owens has authorized nearly $6 million for Colorado's Disaster Emergency Fund to help fight wildfires. The governor also allotted an additional $1.1 million to help pay for standby resources. There's a lot of great TV out there. TV Guide Channel helps you find it. Watch TV Guide Channel to find out what's new, what's best, and what's next on TV. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1:40.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local all day Saturday and Sunday. Listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Desi Cortez, and Darren Copeland beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Former Tonight Show band leader Doc Severinsen leads the Colorado Symphony Orchestra and From Russia with Doc on April 9th and 10th. Tickets start at just $12. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
I'm Mike Stenifford with the KNRC forecast of the Weather Channel. Looks like some much-needed rain on the way for the next several days for this afternoon. Intervals of cloud cover and sunshine. And I said shower or thunderstorm is possible. Our highs low to mid-60s. Showers tonight, we'll see a low around 40. Showers will continue Thursday and Friday. Highs upper 50s to around 60. Now look for the weekend, colder with a chance of snow. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenifford on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 59 now. KNRC news time is 1:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Discounts up to $6,500 off new Jeep Grand Cherokees at MedVed Chrysler Jeep Wheat Ridge and MedVed Chrysler Jeep Dodge Castle Rock. That's right, $6,500. Plus, 0% financing is available to qualified buyers on Liberties, Grand Cherokees, and Chrysler minivans. Buy a new truck, van, or sport utility from MedVed Chevrolet and get discounts up to $13,000. And 0% financing up to 60 months on select Chevrolets is back. MedVed has rows and rows of great Chevrolet Tahoes and Suburbans. Plus, Silverados and the all-new Chevy Colorado pickups are stocked fence to fence. With rebates and incentives on just about every truck MedVed sells, you can save thousands. At the giant MedVed Autoplex on the I-25 corridor, depart the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheat Ridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVed Autoplex. Find out why from the western slope to Kansas, Wyoming to New Mexico.
Everybody said go to MedVed.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, where it happens, or how it happens, get the information you need here first. First. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC. Now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1:44 on the Wednesday edition of, excuse me, Enid Live. I think my voice is, either I'm losing it or it's getting misplaced, so please bear with me. I'm sitting here swinging at the hot tea, so maybe I should put some whiskey in it and we'll have a much better show today. Anyway, in the 2 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Philip Margolin, and he's got a bestseller. It's called Sleeping Beauty. It's on the New York Times bestseller list. And he will be appearing at Tatter Cover Lodo tonight, 7:30, 303-382-1150. We're talking about the war. Was it a great idea? Read the Seymour Hersh piece. Go to the New Yorker. You can do it online or you can do it via Slate. And he is got tremendous ties into the intelligence community. And he's talking about what a mess it is now in Afghanistan, how we did nothing. We just allowed them to wither for 2 years. We took people who were making inroads, who could speak the language, who were an elite group of special forces, you know, special ops, whatever they call themselves, and we shifted everything over to Iraq. And now we're turning our attention back to Afghanistan, but after 2 years of letting them get a lot stronger. Meanwhile, it's unraveling in Iraq. So in terms of money, in terms of materiel, it has been a huge drain. 303-382-1150, U.S. firms increasingly avoiding taxes. I said this yesterday. It's the front page story today in the Denver Post. But the Wall Street Journal had the story yesterday. More than 60% of U.S. corporations did not pay any federal taxes for 1996 through 2000, years when the economy boomed and corporate profits soared and when they were also trying to lay off a lot of people. Let's head over to Louisville. Michelle, hi. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Michelle.
I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. Now you're not a virgin anymore.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I enjoy listening to your show, and I just wanted to go back real quick to what you were talking about in the first hour. And I just wanted to mention, throw out one more name that's running for U.S. Senate. I don't think it was mentioned earlier. It's Mike Miles. And I'm just wanting to encourage people to check out his website, Mike Miles, the number 4, Senate.com. I saw him speak last week at a Kucinich meetup, and he was amazing, and I really encourage people to check him out. And I need to check out Ken Salazar's website. I don't know enough about him. I know he declined to debate Mike Miles, but I just hope people don't listen to the only names that are out there. There are other people out there, and he's a West Point grad, and
yeah, but does he really have any kind of a chance? I really don't think he's got a chance. He may be a great guy, and I know he's been hanging in there for quite a while.
Yeah, he's been running for 2.5 years, and I just hate to see, you know, someone that everybody knows jump in the race, and then he's kind of forgotten about. And I know he's, you can see I tend to vote for the underdogs, but they seem to be the most genuine and sincere and people that fight for...
Well, you're probably right about that because they have less to lose. They have nothing to lose because they're a long shot to begin with. But thanks for throwing his name into the ring and thanks for calling us. How did you find us?
I've been listening to you for about 6 or 7 months and I just was kind of searching the radio and was excited to hear your show going on and something different than than Bill O'Reilly and things like that.
So. Oh, well, thank you. I hope you tell your friends, and I hope you call us again. Thanks, Michelle. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Tom, in Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, I want to comment on the Iraqi war, and in not in an intellectual way. I was watching the news last night, and I just had a clear image, I can't describe it, of how wrong it is for us to be there. Just seeing, like, I'm not a radical in terms of, like, stereotyping the white man, but just seeing the white man there trying to do this and how that was impact, how that was working. And it was very clear to me that it's just not, it doesn't work and it won't work. And it's impacting me.
Do you like it when they say we're going to hang tough, which means they're going to run out the door the first chance they get in June or July?
I thought for a long time, since we're in there, we might as well stay. We need to stay and finish it. But now I'm starting to realize that I'm starting to shift away from that and realize that when something doesn't work, when you realize it doesn't work, the best thing to do is leave it alone.
Tom, I thank you for the call, 303-382-1150. Tobias in Lakewood, are you live with Enid?
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
First of all, don't hang up on me. I know you like to do that.
Well, make an interesting point, and I'll resist the impulse.
Tobias. Okay, the reason we went to the war with Iraq is because it's an ally to China. That's it. That's the only reason.
That's why we went to war with Iraq.
Yep.
Thank you, Tobias, for confirming my worst fears. 303-382-1150. Oh, my God. Mara, calling from Inglewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, I've got three things I wanted to talk about. But the first point was about Salazar. I am really impressed with him because when the family, Klebold and Harris families wanted to destroy the evidence from Columbine, together with, you know, Jefferson County, they all wanted to burn it. Salazar went to bat and wouldn't let him do it. And then he arranged, I believe it was him directly, arranged for that showing out there at the Adams County Fairgrounds where people could go and look at the guns and everything else that Jefferson County had accumulated. That really impressed me because Columbine has been a thorn in my side because everything was stonewalled by, you know, Sheriff Stone. So, anyway.
So, you're going to, the long and the short of it is you're going to vote for Ken Salazar.
Oh, yeah. And he's also done some work to open up records, corporation records that they've tried to conceal. I think he's done more for the state of Colorado for open record stuff than anybody else that I can remember, and I'm native Coloradan.
Mara,
so,
thank you very much for that.
Oh, one other thing,
yeah,
can
quickly.
I say, did you know that Reuters has a news release that some of the coalition forces have been captured by the insurgents?
Is that just coming across right now?
Well, I'll tell you where. I read it on
because
the
right now Rumsfeld is giving a news conference,
yeah,
and he's talking about the terrorists and what's going on, and it's not really good news, and things are spinning out of control there.
Yeah, well, I read this on Drudge Report. That's
okay,
where I got it.
All right, Mara,
okay,
I'll take a look. Thanks very much for the call. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Dan in Littleton, how are you live with Enid?
Hey, Enid, I had a problem with that last caller. The only reason he released that information was 3 years after the cops couldn't be sued for the liability. You know, as in, they knew they did something wrong with Columbine. They knew there was a lot of evidence, and they still destroyed it, and he has never pursued it. That's Ken Salazar.
You're never going to vote for Ken Salazar?
Well, no, I'm just saying that, now you're putting me between a choice of two evils, but I'm just saying that.
Or a choice between the lesser of two weevils.
Okay. You know, but like you say, gosh darn it, he really had a chance to show us what a man is. Dean did. Remember, Dean went against the war? And, I mean, he took it all. And if he was wrong, he just like you, they would have loved to put egg all over your face. They would have loved to put egg all over his face. But, by God, he didn't have the...
Well, what about Coors? What do you think about...
No. Listen, Coors is a wealthy man. He's gonna give it away to the millionaires. And they need a tax break, by gosh. those poor millionaires are getting therapy.
I know it. You don't want to see them standing on corners. Well, you know, we'll create an Enron for food.
Yeah.
Thank
boy,
you.
I agree. Now, I agree with you there. But, boy, if I don't like Ken Salazar for those two things. He let Quest slide, and, you know, he kind of slapped our hands, and you better be good now, and here's your little fine, and you ripped off all of Colorado, basically destroyed a lot.
I like Ken Salazar because he went to my school. He went to Michigan.
Well, what about
and I like I sort of like what I see about him. I haven't really looked at him as closely as I should, and I will be looking at him more closely. But I like what I see on the surface. I like about him a lot. Dan, we're going to have to leave it there. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Across the Front Range and the Rocky Mountains, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
I listen in my car. I listen at work.
Denver's premier talk station.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
Hear both sides daily.
Both sides.
On AM 1150 KNRC.
Quest Choice Long Distance for Business. Just 5 cents a minute with a $20 monthly cap and no contracts. Call 1-888-LD-QUEST for more information.
Strawberry Cool Whip.
Strawberry has arrived and you won't believe your eyes. Creamy pastel pink, even better than you think. To the Cool Whip.
Strawberry Cool Whip.
Berry, berry, baby now.
Cool Whip, whip top baby.
New
cool
strawberry helps you vary. Strawberry flavor is finally here. Wish berry season could last all year.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Have you been thinking about donating your car, boat, truck, or RV? Jewish Family Service makes helping the less fortunate while saving on your taxes as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1. Call Jewish Family Service at 303-597-5000. 2. Arrange a pickup time. 3. Get a receipt for your tax donation. It's that easy. Call JFS at 303-597-5000 or visit their website at jewishfamilyservice.org and point your car in a direction that will help children and families in need.
Stay with KNRC right after Style Matters from noon to 2 this Saturday for a brand new show called Food Talk with Jim Conder. Jim will host a 2-hour romp in the field of great food and drink. Interesting guests, delectables, food news, specialty foods, interesting food, food history, recipes, cuisines, cooking tips, and of course, restaurants. Food Talk with Jim Conder, KNRC's new food and restaurant forum. Saturdays noon to 2 on AM 1150 KNRC. Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Doug Kellett, weekdays at 3.
It's here at last.
He's daring.
He's dashing.
He's dangerous.
He's beautiful.
He's Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett, hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:55 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Right now I'm watching Donald Rumsfeld conduct a press conference at the Pentagon, and CNN is covering it. And our last caller was right. This is Reuters reporting that a top aide to the militant Iraqi cleric al-Sadr, that the one they're looking for, said that his supporters had captured a number of soldiers from the U.S.-led coalition during clashes currently taking place across a large swath of Iraq. Some tribes have captured some occupation forces on the streets. He said he gave no further details. This was something that was broadcast on Lebanon's TV station. There was no immediate comment on the report from the command of U.S.-led forces in Baghdad, so whether it's true or whether he's only saying it's true, we don't know. And The Guardian, which is an English newspaper, is reporting the following, that the uprising in Iraq could derail Bush. Well, it's hard to know what's going to derail anybody, because right now Bush's approval ratings are falling. They're sinking pretty quickly. But there is some time between now and the election, and lots of things can happen, and they can... You never know what's going to occur, but the uprising in Iraq could derail Bush is what the English papers are reporting. He was yesterday struggling to prevent the escalating violence in Iraq from engulfing his reelection campaign after his worst political week this year triggered bipartisan calls for a rethink of U.S. strategy in Iraq. So 30 American soldiers and 130 Iraqis have been killed since the weekend in Fallujah, where heavy combat continued last night. Unconfirmed reports said that U.S. planes fired rockets yesterday, destroying four houses and killing 26 Iraqis. U.S. forces confirmed last night that up to 12 Marines had been killed in Ramadi. You know, it's funny. I was watching CNN, and I watched the crawl, and it said fewer than 12. were killed. And then the New York Times today says as many as 12 were killed. Notice the bias there in the way that that's been reported. Fewer than, like, oh, who, you know, it was less than 12. It was a bargain. It was $10.99, you know, for you, not $10, but $9.99, you know. Rice is being, everybody's anticipating what's going to happen with Condoleezza Rice tomorrow. She's going to cite, the Washington Post says that she's going to cite a pre-9/11 mentality. You know, in the first 8 months, they didn't listen to anybody. They didn't listen. They marginalized Clark. And what is also being reported here, which I think adds another dimension to the story, is that apparently Condoleezza Rice supported Dick Clark when a lot of people in the Bush administration, in Dickey's administration, considered Clark a kind of, I don't know, you know, one of those characters that everybody has worked with on the job, who's got a big mouth, who's got strong attitudes, who believes firmly, you know, and who's a pain in the behind. And that's how Clark is perceived, but he's also perceived as somebody who was able to get the job done. So, what the impact is going to be with the 9/11 families, and I don't think the 9/11 families are really happy with the fact that Dickey and Dick are going to be questioned together privately. They ought to be televised. They ought to be, their testimony ought to be under oath, and they ought to be testifying separately. And if they're going to be testifying privately, then they need to be testifying separately. Dick Cheney and George W. Dickey Bush. So the two Dicks running the White House, and the little Dick is really your puppet president. Because Big Dick is the guy, I think, who is in charge. And I think that's really what they, I think they don't want us to know a couple of things. First of all, how utterly incompetent they are, because they have managed to create this veneer of strength. And in fact, they're very weak. If you are strong, you don't have to shut everybody down and shroud everything in secrecy. If you're a strong person, you don't have to operate that way. And secondly, I think they don't want us to know that it's Dick Cheney who's been your real president here. 303-382-1150. One more hour of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNR. We'll be joined by Philip Margolin, his new book, Sleeping Beauty. You can meet him tonight at Tattered Cover Lodo. The book is on the New York Times bestseller list. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. Witnesses say as many as 40 Iraqis were killed when U.S. forces bombed and rocketed a mosque compound in the Iraqi city of Fallujah. A Marine spokesman says there was heavy fire coming from that area as rebels stage attacks around the country. NBC's Tom Aspel says the man who helped spark this new round of violence in Iraq is keeping a low profile.
The leader of the uprising, Muqtada al-Sadr, is holed up in a mosque in Najaf, surrounded by armed men, and he's calling the Sunni and other co-religionists in Iraq to join in the fight to expel what he calls invading foreigners.
Marines now say they control about a quarter of the city of Fallujah and will keep going until they control it all. President Bush is getting regular briefings on the fighting in Iraq. Members of the Special 9/11 Commission are thinking about questions for National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. She's scheduled to testify under oath before the panel tomorrow. The hearings will also be public. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Mr. Goodwrench, who is this one and only GM expert? I'm about to find out.
GM Goodwrench, may I help you?
Yeah, hi. Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Goodwrench had over 1 million hours of training last year?
That's right.
Well, there happens to be only 8,760 hours in a year, Missy.
Excuse me?
Throws a little wrench into this whole Mr. Goodwrench thing over there, doesn't it?
Huh?
You like that? Wrench? It's a play on Goodwrench. I just made that up.
Find Mr. Goodwrench, the one and only GM expert at over 7,000 GM dealers.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 59 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. The CU investigative panel heard testimony today from football players and the interim football coach. I'll have that story in a moment, but first let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
It continues to be a very quiet drive on the freeway system at the 2 o'clock hour. We haven't had any accidents or stalls on the freeways in a very, very long time. May have a little slowing around Union and Alameda in Lakewood, an earlier injury accident in the clearing stages there. Also an accident getting cleaned up at First and University in the Cherry Creek area. For choice and flexibility, get Quest Choice home, phone, and long distance. More features and 5 cents a minute long distance make Quest the choice for Colorado. Call 1-888-273-9221 or visit Quest.com. Restrictions apply. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, the CU investigative panel heard today from the interim football coach Brian Cabral and four football players. Colorado quarterback Joel Klatt says it's unfair to think that everyone on the football team is a sexual predator.
It is frustrating for us to be grouped as any other type of a minority or any other group doesn't want to be categorized just as that type of group.
Coach Cabral told the panel that one of the ways the football program has increased efforts to educate incoming players is through a life skills class on the do's and don'ts of alcohol and sex. This report brought to you by Alaska Airlines. The race for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate is about to get a little more crowded. Governor Bill Owen says Pete Coors will throw his hat in the ring.
I talked to him an hour and a half ago, and he is going to run for the United States Senate as a Republican. I think Pete Coors would make an outstanding senator. I think it's going to lead to a very competitive race in Colorado.
Coors will challenge former Congressman Bob Schaefer for the GOP nomination for Ben Nighthorse Campbell's Senate seat. The Denver Regional Council of Governments has come out on the side of RTD's plan to implement the Fast Tracks transit expansion. A report from the council says the plan will cut travel times, help the environment, and give consumers more options. Before voters get to approve the plan, the council has to give its go-ahead. The plan calls for new light rail lines to Golden, DIA, Arvada, and some other locations, and it's expected to cost $5 billion. RTD wants a tax increase to fund that project. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche kick off the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight against the Dallas Stars at the Pepsi Center. Second game of the best-of-seven series will be Friday night in Denver, while games 3 and 4 will be in Dallas. Denver Nuggets are on the road to Phoenix to play the Suns tonight as the Nuggets wind down their regular season. The Nuggets topped the Suns when they last met in January. Colorado Rockies are in Arizona, too. Tonight they play the Arizona D-backs at Bank One Ballpark in Phoenix. Jason Jennings climbs the hill for the Rocks, while the Diamondbacks send out Brandon Webb. Rockies beat Arizona 6-2 yesterday in the first game of that three-game set. Nobody knows Alaska like Alaska Airlines. Alaska Airlines offers the most service to Anchorage and on June 6th will add daily nonstops from Denver. Go to AlaskaAir.com and plan your Alaska adventure today. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
While the other stations are into sports and infomercials on the weekend, we do what we do best. Talk.
Talk to me. Make me happy.
We're talking here.
Please listen to me.
Listen for live local talk weekends on AM 1150 KNRC.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
I'm Mike Stinneford with the KNRC forecast of the Weather Channel. Looks like some much-needed rain on the way for the next several days for this afternoon. Intervals of cloud cover and sunshine. An isolated shower or thunderstorm is possible. Our highs low to mid-60s. Showers tonight, we'll see a low around 40. Showers will continue Thursday and Friday. Highs upper 50s to around 60. Now look for the weekend colder with a chance of snow. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stinneford on AM 1150 KNRC.
59 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From
AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And with me, live in studio, best-selling author Philip Margolin, his new book, Sleeping Beauty, a previous book, a New York Times bestseller. And I think most of you, all of your books have been bestsellers, haven't they?
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky. This is number 10, and they've all made it.
To the bestseller list?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's very weird because I never, ever thought I'd get a book published at all, and the fact that they've all made the list has been
it's pretty remarkable.
I this is true. I will sometimes be walking down the street and it'll hit me and I'll just start laughing because it seems like such a weird deal. I was when I was in the seventh grade, I decided I wanted to be a criminal defense lawyer when I grew up, and that's what I did for 25 years, all the stuff Perry Mason does. And
do you know if that was all shot in Denver?
Perry Mason?
Yeah. There's a soundstage here. He used to love, he lived in, I think, the Napa Valley in California, but he loved shooting, for some reason, shooting his series here in Denver.
I didn't know that. I knew some of the recent ones where they brought him back after the series finished up, because you could see Denver and they mentioned it, but I didn't know the original ones.
Because I've done some Fox TV and we do it out of the soundstage, and they tell me that that's where the Perry Mason was shot.
Raymond Burr was the best, and I grew up on those books, and so, you know, for me, trying murder, I did about 30 murder cases, and I argued the U.S. Supreme Court, and I did death penalty cases, so I sort of took that for granted, but writing a book was something I never thought I'd do, so.
Philip Margolin will be at Tatter Cover tonight, Low Dough, 7:30. How did you make the transition from being a criminal defense attorney? Did you always know that you wanted to write? Now, I'm thinking about Scott Turow, who has also been a guest, and he too, a criminal defense attorney. There was a place where he had to make a choice in his life. He had been to Stanford, to the writer's workshop at Stanford, and decided he should go to law school rather than to become a writer. And in going to law school and becoming a lawyer, he took the circuitous path to becoming a writer.
Well, I'm sort of the opposite. I was always in awe of writers, and I know Turow wanted to be a writer, and I thought I would never be a writer. In fact, never even dawned on me that I could get something published. And my last semester in law school, I had a sort of a empty semester because I had a job already. And just
Where'd you go to law school?
New York University. So I just had to get D's in my classes to get out. You know, so, and I had all this free time, so I read voraciously. I since I was little, I've read about 3 books a week, and so I would open these books and say, how did this guy fill up, you know, 500 pages of words? It sounds impossible. So I thought I'd try to write a novel based on my experiences in the Peace Corps to see, could I write more than 25 pages? And I had no intention of trying to get it published or writing a good book even. I didn't care if it was good. I just wanted to see, could I finish, you know, do something big enough to be thought of as a novel. And I finished the book, and it wasn't very good, but I just liked doing it. So I wrote another book, and then finally when I was in my 30s, I got a short story published, and that gave me some self-confidence.
Where? Who published it?
Mike Shane Mystery Magazine. It was called The Girl in the Yellow Bikini, which I always loved because it was a pulp, you know, detective magazine, and that's a great pulp detective story title. And so once I did that, I said, gee, maybe I could actually do something better. And then fortunately for me, I had stumbled across this incredible Oregon murder case, which I personally think is the most phenomenal murder case in American history, but nobody knew about it because it was in Oregon. And so I hijacked it, did a fictional version of the case.
What was the case?
It's called Larry Payton and Beverly Allen were the victims. The people in Oregon know it was the Payton Allen murders. It was in the courts for 20 years. There were hypnotized witnesses, sex slaves, legitimate alternative theories of the crime. They took 8 years to make any arrests. There were 3 different trials, one which made O.J. look like a Tea Party, one which had some of the most amazing lawyering ever, different verdicts for different defendants based on the same evidence. It goes on and on. If you have, 2 weeks, I'd be glad to tell you. Glad to tell you about it. I mean, I don't know, maybe you have no more guests. You can just sit here for the next 2 weeks. So, but I had this little gem, and This is where my career gets really weird. I had written five chapters in an outline of the book, had no idea. I'd never met a writer before. I'd never met anyone who published the book. I hadn't met anyone publishing. So I really wasn't even thinking what I'd do when I finished it. And a buddy of mine called me up who I hadn't seen in years, who went to law school and with me. And he called up and said that he was going to be coming out to the West Coast on vacation, and could we get together?
So and to let people know, you now live in Portland.
Yeah, I grew up in New York, but I lived in Portland, Oregon for...
Powell's, one of the best bookstores ever.
It is absolutely
pretty. Miles of books
at
Powell's. And I know about Portland because I went underground posing as a homeless woman. Remember the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, the guru with the 90-plus Rolls Royces?
Yeah.
Well, I posed as a homeless woman and was strip searched, and they put Haldol into our food, and I did that adventure for a while. But when I got sprung to Portland and stayed at that wonderful hotel, the Benson Hotel, and had real food and got to go to Powell's and poke around. So that was the reward for that adventure.
Well, I moved out, you know, right after law school and never went back. I really just love it. But in any event, this guy came out and with his wife, and we're driving back from the airport. And I said, you know, what have you been doing the last 5 years? And it turns out that he's one of three lawyers for the largest literary agency in the world. And I said, Marty, you know, I said, I'm writing a book. And he started screaming and trying to get out of the car on the freeway. But I said, could you take these chapters back and just show them to somebody? I said, I don't know if they're any good or not. I don't know anyone in publishing. And 2 weeks later, I came back from court, and everyone was sitting around with champagne. I said, what happened? They said, well, your agent called, which I didn't know I had one. And I said, they sold your book. So,
the first book.
Yeah.
Now, the first book to make the New York Times bestseller list, which I assume it did, since you say all of your books, did it make it?
Not then.
Not that one.
Not that one made it, but not then. I wrote two books in 78 and 81 that did not get on the list at that time. Then I took a 12-year break, and I didn't write till 93 was when Gone But Not Forgotten came out, and that was a huge international bestseller.
So then they went back to buy your old books.
And they both were on the list for about 6 weeks.
It's like Dan Brown, who has also been a guest here.
Yeah.
His Angels and Demons, that didn't sell until Da Vinci Code really became such a hit. So are you still practicing law?
I stopped in 96. I was doing mostly death penalty cases and federal drug cases where you're in court a couple of weeks, a couple of months. And when the Gone hit, they started sending me on book tours like I'm on right now. And I am usually out of the state of Oregon on book tours for 2 months a year. And you just, you know, you can't tell your client, I know they want to execute you, but I got to go do a book signing in Denver. I'll be back in a month or so, you know.
Maybe you could answer that question about why they alcohol you before they do the lethal injection. I want to know that.
I've never figured out why they put a suicide watch on people on death row. That's the most confusing thing to me.
Well, what about the whole idea of the last meal? Although there's a guy in Texas who he works in the kitchen for last meals.
Uh-huh.
He's a prisoner, but that's his bailiwick, his last meals. And when they ask for 24 tacos, his job is to bust it down to 4 tacos. And when they ask for filet, he gives you hamburger. In other words, your last meal could be anything you want as long as they have the ingredients on hand. Yeah.
Well, the whole death penalty thing is sort of interesting. So I did 12 of those cases, and they're different. They're really different. They're very challenging.
Does it take it out of you as an attorney to argue death penalty cases? Because there's so much writing on it for your client.
Well, yeah. I mean, the big thing about it is I always had a very sort of laid-back attitude. I don't get emotionally involved, but I have a very high sense of professionalism. And so in any other case, you can, you know, mess up a little bit. But if you don't dot one I, your guy gets killed. So you basically have to be perfect. And since I am not, you know, that's where the pressure comes in. Waking up in the middle of the night and say, did I do this? Did I do this? Did I do this? Did I do this? Because if you don't do one of the thises, then... you know, that's it. So I was very lucky. None of my clients was ever on death row when I finished up with the cases. But
that's a pretty good track record.
Yeah.
I have a cousin who argues death penalty cases, appeals. He handles appeals.
Yeah, I won all my appeals. Half of them were up in the Supreme Court of Oregon. I won all those. And half were at the trial level. And the clients, in many cases, were sent, you know, convicted, but none of them were sentenced to death. So I did enough thises to keep them off, but it's very, very exhausting. And like I say, usually I'm really very, I stand back from the case. I don't get emotionally involved in the cases because I don't think it's good for your client. It's not professional.
Well, it's probably not good for you either.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you start getting emotionally involved with your clients, you're going to be a nervous wreck. You're going to be on like Valiums, and you won't be able to do a good job. So,
right.
But it's this whole thing that I always felt you have to do your very, very best within your capabilities. I mean, I always know I'm going to screw up. I mean, there's never a doubt in my mind that at some point in a case I'm going to do something wrong. But you try to do as little wrong as possible, and hopefully, you know, everything you do right works out. So.
My guest, Philip Margolin, his new book, Sleeping Beauty, debuts on the New York Times bestseller list this week?
I'm not sure. I think it's next Sunday.
Next Sunday?
Whatever next Sunday is. This is like I don't even know what day. This is my third week on tour, so I don't know where I am, let alone what day it is.
You're in Denver.
That was a very hard question. Don't ask me what day it is or where I am. That's not a good question.
You can meet him tonight at Tatter Cover, Lodo, 7:30. How has lawyering affected your writing? Has it made you a better writer? Has it given you the stories to tell, the life experience, so that you can use it in these novels that you write?
I think there's two things about being a lawyer that's really good for being a writer. One of them is that I based one of my books, The Burning Man, on one of my murder cases, but I'm able to make my stories very realistic because anything in the stories that happens involving law, I've actually done it. So if I describe an attorney, you know, talking to somebody who's charged with murder up in the jail, I've done that like tons of times. If I describe a murder trial or a motion to suppress, I've done, you know, like a gazillion of them. But the other part, which most people wouldn't think of, is so I know how people talk, where they sit, you know, what it's like to be back in chambers with the judge during, you know, a break, how a person talks with a district attorney when you're negotiating a case, how you investigate a case. I was a special agent with the DA's office for a while, and I actually went out and, you know, served subpoenas and
What about this drug stuff? You were handling drug cases.
A lot of major drug cases.
I mean, this whole business about mandatory minimums for people.
Mandatory minimums.
This is horrible.
Well, they're very bad. The reason they're bad is, I could go on about this, and you probably want me to. Here's what's bad about mandatory minimums. Every case is totally different. I have represented two people who hammered a victim to death, killed them with a hammer. And if you read the indictment, the words are almost identical for the case. Now, one of those cases, the woman was a battered woman who had been abused horrendously for about 14 years and was a very, very nice person, and she had just been pushed to her limits. The other person was a horrible person, and he killed four individuals, including two kids. But if you read the indictment, it's the same wording. But the point is that every single case I've handled is different as far as the type of person involved, the circumstances of the crime. And so you need to take into account real life. You can't just put a grid up and say, you know, we don't care about what the people involved were like or the circumstances. If you do this, you get 10 years. It's silly, and it's not fair, basically. You're going to be punishing some people too much and others, quite frankly, too little. I mean, there are people that I've seen under guidelines who got what I consider to be way too soft a sentence. And I didn't tell that to my client, you know, but, but, you know, quite frankly, had I been the judge, I would have hammered the guy, but the guidelines said you're supposed to get 2 years. So the guy got 2 years. So I think the judges need to have the flexibility. I mean, if we're going to, for instance, in federal court, if we're going to appoint a person for life to be a judge, we should have some confidence that he can make intelligent decisions. So these mandatory minimums.
Well, but Ashcroft is cracking down, not only mandatory minimums, but if you any kind of downward departures, you become blacklisted as a judge.
Yeah, and that's
and so people who could make a lot more money not being judges are thinking twice about becoming judges. And if you're going to occupy that exalted position, your judgment should be respected.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And you know what it is? It's politics. It's very easy for politicians to go after crime. because criminals do not have a lobby. You know, everybody hates them, probably rightfully so. But the point is that they're very easy, and it's easier to be tough on crime, in quotes, than to think about infrastructure. You know,
well, it's easy to posture and look like you're tough on crime, but the fact of the matter is you're really undermining the whole judicial system.
And you're able to avoid the really tough questions, which were how do we build schools, how do we pave our roads, how do we provide more jobs, the boring stuff that really is what makes a whole society work.
My guest is Philip Margolin, his new book, Sleeping Beauty. You know, it's funny, when you're a cop and you see really the underbelly of society, you were in a previous life, a previous incarnation, a criminal defense attorney, and you're handling death penalty cases and drug cases. You're seeing the underbelly of life. You can either feel corroded by it and terminally cynical, or you can take the lemon and make the lemonade and turn them into best-selling novels.
Well, you were asking me before about how being a lawyer helped me, and we talked about one aspect of it, but the part that most people would never think about is editing. If you're going to be a really good writer, if there are people out there now who are working on novels, this is something you should listen to.
Oh, good. We want some advice.
You can't have any ego involvement in your work if you're going to be really good. You have to be able to kill your best stuff, rip up your best pages if they hurt the novel. And lawyers are trained to be very objective, to not get emotionally involved. And so when I'm editing, self-editing, I think one of the things that really helps me do a good job with my self-editing before I send it off to my editor, who yells at me and rips up everything.
You're a tough editor.
Yeah. I mean, I'm able to step back and read my stuff and say, you know, I loved writing this, but really it's not very good, or it's not working, or something like that. So that's another area where legal training helps you to be a good writer.
What's your strength as a writer?
Plotting. That's a very easy question to answer. You know, I've never or hardly ever had a critic, and I've had loads of reviews over the years, say this plot is not good. And now they've really lambasted my characters as being two-dimensional, or they'll say my writing style is not, you know, like Shakespeare's, which I'll admit it's not. But I've never had anyone say that the plots themselves weren't good. And I think that's my real strength.
So you're a storyteller.
Yeah, I am basically. I tell a good story, not artistically maybe, but that's what I do.
My guest is Philip Margolin, the new book, Sleeping Beauty. You can meet him tonight at Tattercover Lodo, 7:30. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
We've got our own Reagan Revolution every weeknight at 6 p.m. Hear Michael Reagan exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Do you want to save as much as 50% or more on your prescription medications? Did you know that millions of Walgreens customers already do? Talk to your Walgreens pharmacist about generic substitutions. By law, generics contain the same active ingredient as the name brand equivalents. This means that you get the same quality medication for less. Generic substitutions. One more reason why Walgreens is the pharmacy America trusts.
Money. It burns a hole in your pocket, makes the world go round, and it's the root of all evil. Money matters. But just how much? That's the question a man named William Shakespeare asked himself before writing The Merchant of Venice. Shakespeare's Merchant masterfully examines just what money can do to friends, lovers, and enemies. It's quite a play, still funny, and thought-provoking 300 years later. Luckily, The Merchant of Venice plays at the one place in town that will do it justice. The Denver Center Theater Company, with rich costumes, superb acting, and really comfy seats. You get your money's worth. Just be forewarned, tickets are a commodity. Buy your seat today or it's likely to be gone faster than you can say, ka-ching! The Merchant of Venice, only at the Denver Center Theater Company, March 25th through April 24th. Call 303-893-4100 or visit denvercenter.org.
Tune in to AM 1150 KNRC on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. for the Kiefel Cycling Hour, featuring 7-time Tour de France competitor and Olympic bronze medalist Ron Kiefel. Ron will talk about the latest equipment, highlight great local areas to ride, and even have some training tips. It doesn't matter if you're training for the Tour de France or just taking those training wheels off for the first time. The Kiefel Cycling Hour has something for you every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Stephanie Shelton, CNBC Business Radio. Wall Street closed lower. The Dow was down 90 to 10,480. NASDAQ fell 9 to close at 2,050. Genentech has just reported its fourth quarter results. The world's second biggest biotech company says earnings rose on higher drug sales. Net profit 33 cents a share. That's 4 cents more than a year ago. Research in Motion, which makes the BlackBerry, is splitting its stock 2-for-1. The company is expected to release its quarterly results shortly. Why have gas prices risen so much so fast? Well, don't blame the oil companies, says the Federal Trade Commission. An FTC official told the Senate subcommittee the agency has not identified any instances of collusion between the companies so far. But you could put some of that blame on the futures markets. Oil and gas futures shot up today after the Energy Department unexpectedly reported a drop in crude oil and gasoline supplies in the U.S. Oil for May delivery was up more than $1.50 a barrel. Stephanie Shelton, CNBC Business Radio.
For today's businesses, even something like choosing an accounting firm can put you at risk. Some are so big, they can't remember your name. Others, they're just too small. But at Grant Thornton, you'll get easy access to our partners and resources in 48 U.S. offices, providing accounting services with integrity since 1924. Get to know us at grantthornton.com. We've got a passion for the business of accounting.
Do you want to save as much as 50% or more on your prescription medications? Did you know that millions of Walgreens customers already do? Talk to your Walgreens pharmacist about generic substitutions. By law, generics contain the same active ingredient as the name brand equivalents. This means that you get the same quality medication for less. Generic substitutions. One more reason why Walgreens is the pharmacy America trusts.
AM 1150 KNRC caught John Kerry confidentially the other day talking about our morning show host, Jimmy Lakey.
These guys are the most crooked, you know, lying good people I've ever seen.
It's scary.
I think Jimmy may be getting on his nerves. What do you think? Find out mornings with Jimmy Lakey exclusively on Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:29 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. With me live in studio, Philip Margolin, his new book, Sleeping Beauty. All of them have been bestsellers, and this one's about to debut on the New York Times bestseller list. You can meet him tonight at Tattered Cover, Lodo, 7:30. Well, we last left each other. I want to ask you, because I think there are a lot of people who I would like to write a mystery. And I sort of began life as a writer, but and I used to occasionally review books for the San Francisco Chronicle and other papers, but I don't have the time to do it, and really labor intensive to do a proper book review. But if you were going to give us any advice, what would you tell us besides tell a good story? You're strong on plotting. What is it about your books that makes them so successful, if I were to ask you?
Well, did you want to know what my books, what makes my book successful, or how to write a advice?
Both.
I mean, the thing I think that's really good about my books are there are loads of twists and turns and surprises. And I think that's the hallmark.
Do you know about that going in, or does develop as you're sitting there writing it?
No, I'm very anal retentive. It's all my legal training. I have to know everything that's going to happen before I do it. So what
you
usually
have to know the answer to the question before you ask it.
Yeah. So what I usually do is I spend sometimes years thinking about a plot, making notes and stuff. And then at some point I'll feel, okay, I'm ready to do this a book. Now, I won't even start writing a single word till I know the ending. I always have to know where the book's going, who did it, how's it going to end, how are they going to get caught. And then I do a really, really detailed outline that sometimes takes me months. And I talk myself through the whole book. So my outline for Sleeping Beauty was about 30 pages. Wild Justice was about 68. That's the longest I've had. So, and the reason I do that is, A, so I spot plotting problems before I've written 400 pages and have to rip everything up. And I don't get writer's block. People say, you know, do you ever get writer's block? I don't, because the whole book's written before it's written.
So when you sit down to write it, you're connecting the dots.
That's right. And I still have problems because the book never ends up like the outline. There's always, you know, when you're taking the outline, which is one-dimensional, and you're turning into a three-dimensional world, like, for instance, here's an easy plot. This should be easy to write, right? Boy meets girl, boy and girl fall in love, boy and girl get married. What would be tough about that? But let's say when I'm developing the characters, the boy is a very liberal Democrat and the girl is a very conservative Republican. Well, maybe they won't like each other, you know, by the time they get to chapter five, because their political views don't jive. So then I'm going to have to decide, am I going to change personalities? Am I going to change the plot around? So stuff like that happens when you're working on the, you know, when you're working with reality. But my biggest problems are usually I know what scene A is and what scene C is, and I can't figure out right away how to get from A to C. So that's, you know, that's the way I work. And then I just basically take my outline and I take each paragraph and make it into a chapter. And I don't worry about quality the first time through. I just want to get it out. So really I end up with like a 500-page outline. It's terrible. It's not a publishable quality. And then I spend months working on quality, rewriting until it's, you know, the quality's really good. But the biggest advice I would give to people who are sitting out there is don't listen to this show and don't go see me tonight at Tatted Cover.
Wait a minute. They should always listen to this show.
They should sit on their butt and write. And I mean, that's the big thing. Like I said before, I'd never met anyone who had published a book before I did. Now I know tons of published writers. And what I think is the big difference is that the people who want to be published and are published sit down and actually write. They don't talk about it. I have so many people come up and say, I had a great idea for a novel. I say, oh, great. How far along are you? Oh, no, I don't have the time to do it. I thought you might be interested. You know, you got to just sit and do it.
And the worst thing you can do is talk it away.
Yeah, and you also have to be able to put up with rejection. Almost all famous writers have been rejected over and over again. Everyone thinks, you know, if someone's on the bestseller list or they win the Pulitzer Prize, that, oh, this guy must have just sat down and one afternoon wrote this book and then everyone gave him $1 million and he gave him the Pulitzer Prize. It doesn't work in real life like that. There are so many stories about really famous writers who everyone says, oh, this guy's the best, who went years and years without getting published and getting the book sent back and, you know, oh, no, this is not good enough, you don't know how to write, type of thing. So you have to have perseverance, you have to be willing to take the rejections, and you have to physically sit on your backside. And I always tell when I'm talking about writing that the most important part of a writer's anatomy isn't his brain where the ideas come from or his hands where you write the stuff. It's your backside. So that's my big advice to all you writers. So stop listening. Go home and start writing your books right now. Instead of coming out and seeing me tonight, I want to see you in front of your word processor.
Mickey Spillane used to say, I've said this endlessly, that whenever he wanted to get some money together, he'd go out and buy some pencil and paper and write something. So your life has changed. Did you know that you were going to be a writer earlier on? Did it even occur to you?
No.
Nothing that you could have anticipated. But it's sort of... It presented itself along the way.
Yeah, like as I explained before, I got the first book because this buddy of mine just happened to work for this huge literary agency. And then I wrote a second one that was published. And then the same year that Heartstone, my first book, came out, I argued the U.S. Supreme Court. I became the first Oregon attorney to use the battered woman syndrome to defend a battered woman who was accused of killing an abusive spouse.
Did you win?
Yes and no. The woman was convicted of manslaughter, but the jury wrote a note, which I understand from talking to people in Multnomah County is sort of unprecedented, wrote a note to the judge saying, don't punish this woman. And the probation officer, the one who writes a pre-sentence report, recommended straight probation, no jail. The DA said probation, but he said she should get 6 months local jail time. So she did have to serve 6 months local jail time, but... you know, she got probation. Everyone was very sympathetic. Quite frankly, she wanted to go to jail. She was a terrible alcoholic because of all the abuse, and this gave her time to dry out. And she felt very guilty about what she'd done, which is, I've done a lot of cases involving battered women, and no matter how horrible the guy is, they always feel really bad, and this gave her a chance to sort of work that out. So I think the whole thing worked out for the best for getting actually a little bit of time to where she had to be in jail. So I lost the battle, but I think won the war.
If I were to ask you what most surprises you about success, I would give you one answer, and then I'd be curious to know your answer.
Okay.
I think success gives you lots of freedom and lots of options and a certain effervescence in life, but it doesn't answer all the questions that life presents. It's not the answer to everything, and that's, I think, a big surprise to a lot of people. But if I were to ask you, what was the biggest surprise about success? Because you don't have to be an attorney anymore. You don't have to suffer those lawyer jokes anymore.
Well, I don't take anything seriously. So for me, all the success stuff, I don't, it's just fun. I like having the extra money to do stuff. I can pay for my kids' tuition. But I really basically do the same stuff I've been doing.
Has it changed anything for you other than you get you have more options, you can do more things?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me is I don't have to worry about paying, you know, for most things. But, you know, for me, the big thing is my family. And I had something wonderful happen very early in my life. When I was in my 30s, I had a novel published, and I argued the U.S. Supreme Court the same year, which is something people dream about who are lawyers or writers. And I realized that, you know, this was really fabulous. It was really cool. I really loved it. But the Supreme Court argument lasted an hour. The book was really, I mean, I loved seeing my books around, but really, you know, I'd finished writing it and it was gone. But, you know, my wife and kids were there every single day, and that's really where I have the most fun is with my family, with my wife. So I don't really think about the success. I mean, I'm still basically doing the same stuff. I dress the same. I get to my office every day. I kept my law office. And I like being a lawyer, by the way. I love being a lawyer.
You kept your law office. Is that where you write?
Yeah, because I couldn't keep on practicing. I wrote my first five novels with a full-time practice and raising two kids with my wife. I could do that, but then once the travel started, I couldn't do the law stuff anymore. And I had never had a chance to be a full-time writer, so I just stopped doing law and started doing writing, but I do it in the same
place. You know what you're a good example of? They did a study about happiness, mm-hmm. and they found out that people are about as happy, the great Abraham Lincoln quote, people are about as happy as they want to be. So people who've had horrible, you know, like become quadriplegics, their happiness level comes back to about where it always was. Yeah. And people who won the lotto, their happiness level comes back to about where it always was. And you sound like you're part of that group.
Well, what it's always been sort of interesting to me about the rock stars and movie stars who commit suicide. And I think what happens is that they think, you know, my life's terrible. I don't feel really good about myself, but if I had a gold record, you know, or a platinum record, I'd have all these women. I'd be able to, people would adore me. Everything would be just fine. And then they get all that, and it's not just fine because your personality is basically what makes you.
And it makes them more depressed because there doesn't seem to be an answer.
Right. Because then you say, oh my God, I've got
everything.
Got it all. Yeah.
And I still feel horrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, really for me, getting a chance to stay at home on Sunday and watch pro football games is about as good as it gets for me. I have very little aspirations past that.
Let's go to the phones very quickly. Frank on Acel, hi, you're live with Enid and Philip Margolin on AM 1150 KNRC.
I know you'll probably tell me to write this book, but I think you'd be a perfect person to write something about what's happening to the nuns that were here in Colorado and got convicted and then sent to prison for protesting by nuclear arms places.
This is the first I've heard of it, and
Frank, I thank you for that. You know, these are nuns who are advocates of peace, and they managed to break into a silo, and they took their own blood, and they made a cross on it. You know, in other words, they demonstrated how easy it was to break into these old missile silos, and secondly, they were making a statement. They're very conscientious, and they got nailed, facing big time prison sentences.
Well, I mean, the thing I would say about this as a writer is that you've got to really get emotionally involved if you're going to take a true crime and make it into a fiction, which is what I do. I don't like to write true crime because I did that for 25 years. So for me at this point, I wouldn't, you know, I've got plots for about two or three more novels worked out already. But like I said, you should be doing it if you're really think it's an interesting idea.
Frank, you get your pencil and paper out and you do it.
Yeah.
Philip Margolin, thank you so much for joining us today. You can meet him at Tattered Cover Low Dose 7:30. His new book, Sleeping Beauty, making its debut on the New York Times bestseller list.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:41, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 59 degrees. Another Republican is expected to announce his intention to run for the U.S. Senate. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Eastbound C-470 at Wadsworth. Police and emergency equipment cleaning up an injury accident there. A car crossed from the westbound lanes into the eastbound lanes and collided with a second vehicle. A lot of slowing according to the CDOT map. Speeds at one point down to about 10 miles an hour in there. So a lot of slow traffic both directions at C-470 in Wadsworth. Southbound I-225 at Tamarack. A couple of separate accidents over on the shoulder causing a little bit of minor slowing for you. Everything else around town moving along in pretty good shape. About another 20 minutes worth of work northbound on Wadsworth between Bellevue and Quincy, and then those construction crews will be out of the way for the afternoon. You're older, you're wiser, and yet you can be a little richer, too. Call 303-299-6000 to learn about the RTD half-price senior discount. RTD, drive less, save more. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Governor Bill Owens says that he talked to Pete Coors this morning, and the governor says the brewery boss will be joining the race for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate. Coors will challenge former Congressman Bob Schaefer for the nomination for Ben Nighthorse Campbell's seat. This report brought to you by TV Guide. Four CU football players and the interim football coach today appeared before the investigative panel looking into the recruiting scandal at the University of Colorado. Brian Cabral says that the football program is increasing its effort to educate players about drinking and inappropriate sexual behavior. Fire crews expect to have the Picnic Rock fire fully contained today, more than a week after it started. Today, Governor Owens authorized nearly $6 million for Colorado's Disaster Emergency Fund to help fight future wildfires. When spring is in the air, it means one thing. A bug baby boom is in progress. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin Man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:43.
He's looking out for you.
Listen.
Bill O'Reilly, weekdays at 10 a.m., exclusively with the Radio Factor on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, Tom, what's happening?
Hey, Walter, just finishing my notes on the film Millennium Mambo before we talk about it at Madstone Theaters Saturday evening.
Great, the fourth film in the Premier Pick series. What do you have so far?
Millennium Mambo is the closely observed story of Vicky, an extreme party girl torn between two men. One is jealous and impulsive, the other more nurturing, but a gangster.
Right, she keeps falling for the wrong kinds of guys. She finds herself stuck in a nightmarish, abusive relationship, a victim of her own bad choices. It's all presented in sort of a trance-like rhythm that reminded me a lot of the films of Wong Kar-wai and Sofia Coppola's Lost in Translation.
It's a tale of self-destructive, aimless youth. In other words, this could be the United States.
An apocalyptic romance by Taiwan's most famous director, Hao Hsiao-hsien.
This is Tom DeLappa and Walter Chow inviting you to go deeper into movies with us as we talk about the film in Madstone Theater's Premier Pick series.
Millennium Mambo is showing April 9th through the 15th only. For more information, call 303-752-3200 or visit madstonetheaters.com.
I'm Mike Stenniford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. Intervals of cloud cover and sunshine this afternoon with an isolated shower or a thunderstorm. Our highs in the low to mid-60s. Tonight some showers, our lows near 40. Showers continue off and on Thursday and Friday with highs in the upper 50s to around 60. Over the weekend, colder with a chance of snow, highs only in the 30s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenniford on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 59 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:45. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
AM 1150 cannot be held liable if our diverse talk programming forces you to use excessive brain power. Always entertaining and never boring. AM 1150 KNRC. Come on. And now the Enid Gold.
Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:46 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and then Doug Kellett takes over. Go to Tatter Cover Lodo tonight. You're going to have a great time. Philip Margolin is a fascinating man, and his book, new book, Sleeping Beauty, is on the bestseller list. And if you have any interest in writing fiction like this, he's a good person to talk to about it. I found myself being inspired, so I guess I have to apply my behind to the seat, to the chair, and really go to town. I guess that's the short answer here. Here's what we've been talking about, if you're just tuning in. We have been talking about a number of things. We're talking about the fact that Pete Coors has thrown his hat into the ring for Senate Republican. Looks like Bill Owens is pushing him in that direction because Owens made the announcement. And here is Coors never having held public office, as far as we know. CEO of Coors Brewing in Golden, giving Bob Schaefer, who was the other Republican running for Senate, a run for his money. And everybody trying to gang up against Ken Salazar, who right now is the favorite. What do you think about that? What are your thoughts about Pete Coors running? We're also talking and trying to anticipate Condoleezza Rice's testimony tomorrow before the 9/11 Commission. It's being reported that they're trying to get her tone right for an administration that is increasingly more and more tone deaf. Also, it is unraveling big time in Iraq right now. It gives me no pleasure to report this, but more and more deaths, the aid to Al-Sadr, the one that we're looking for, who's been hiding out in a mosque, says that they have taken hostage coalition troops. He's not saying how many. He hasn't said who. I don't know if it's true or if they're just trying to pump themselves up, but that's also going on in Iraq. So as things begin to fall apart in Iraq, I don't think that's really good for the Bush reelection effort. But these are people who have pulled themselves out of many, many holes in the past, and I'm sure that they have a plan to pull themselves out again. Rush Limbaugh, his attorney, who's a liberal Democrat, I think. Roy Black, a real liberal guy. ACLU, all these liberals coming to the defense of Rush Limbaugh. Mr. OxyContin, remember our campaign, Flush Rush, is occurring in restrooms of restaurants and bars and so on all over Denver, metro Denver area. So check it out the next time nature calls. The whole idea is to get you to listen to Enid noon to 3. So here's Rush, Mr. OxyContin. His attorney argued that investigators trampled over Rush's privacy rights when they made a surprise visit to a doctor's office to seize his medical records. What they were trying to find out with Rush is whether he was doctor shopping to get all those pills. And guess what? We know that Rush had an OxyContin problem, also known as hillbilly heroin. Who else has that same problem, hillbilly heroin? A kind of hillbilly heroine herself, Courtney Love. She looks so strong out to me, but apparently OxyContin is one of the drugs of choice there. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
From Estes Park to Colorado Springs, from Golden to Aurora, hear Denver's most entertaining talk personalities exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Right now, Pep Boys Express brand name oil change is just $16.88. Choose from Castrol, Pennzoil, Valvoline, Quaker State, or others in a half hour or it's free. See store for details. Pep Boys, parts, service, and so much more.
New York Giants quarterback Jesse Palmer is playing his toughest game. The game of love.
Hello, ladies.
He's ABC's most eligible bachelor yet, and he's anxious to tie the knot.
Jesse is the sexiest bachelor ever.
But this time, one of the 25 women he'll be dating is his spy.
I'm listening to all these girls talk, and I'm just smiling.
And she'll tell Jesse all the girls' dirty little secrets.
She said she slept with, like, over 35 people.
The all-new Bachelor premiere tonight at 9, 8 Central on ABC.
Have you always wanted to make a difference? Do you want to touch lives in communities all across the country? You will make a difference in AmeriCorps National Civilian Community Corps. NCCC is a 10-month national service program for 18 to 24-year-olds. NCCC members work on projects from tutoring kids to rebuilding trails to disaster relief. Along with a life-changing experience, members receive room and board, money for college, and the chance to travel. For information, call 1-800-942-2677 or visit AmeriCorps.org/NCCC.
AM 1150 KNRC invites you to expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series. Tickets are still available for our next featured speaker, Steve Forbes. Steve Forbes will be speaking on Monday, May 17th at Betcher Concert Hall at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. For information, visit knrcradio.com. The KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series is a program of Junior Achievement and is sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Diane. I have my home craft business. I think a lot of people would like to know what I'm thinking, which is sad, because Doug Kellett always hangs up on me when I pause for emphasis. 10 seconds is not an eternity, Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:52 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and then Doug Kellett takes over. I'm getting all these emails from people, some things, some loose ends that I want to tie up. First of all, one of the things that we've been talking a lot about is hacking the vote. We've had Bev Harris on blackboxvoting.org. And we had her on way before Vanity Fair did this piece that is terrifying a lot of people. It's in the April edition by Michael Schneerson. We had her on, was it last December, Joe? So here, if you listen to Enid Live, you're going to get a lot of information before a lot of other people do. Mostly we're ahead of the curve. Sometimes we're behind the curve. Sometimes we don't know where the curve is. Anyway, what is being argued with hacking the vote is that if you have a paper trail, if you get a paper receipt of how you voted, that somehow that will protect you. I don't see how it could, actually, because you could have voted for, let's say, Kerry, and you get a paper receipt that says you voted for Kerry. So what? You walk out of there, and somebody goes in and hacks the tallies later on. Are they going to ask you to come in with your paper receipt? I don't see how that's really going to protect you. And according to Bev Harris, neither will voting absentee protect you, because that all, again, is tallied by a computer. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't think a paper trail. I think a paper trail gives you the illusion that there's some control over this, but I don't know that there is any real control over it. Carrie sends me this email: not voting for Pete Coors because of the Twins ads is ridiculous. Coors Brewing Company pays big money to ad agencies and focus groups to determine markets they could do better in. The Twins ads are aimed at a very specific demographic market, 20-something men, and it was hugely successful from a marketing standpoint. Which has nothing to do with Pete Coors, says Kerry. I probably won't vote for him, as he is a Republican, but I will wait and see what his platform is. Why does anybody bother to see what anybody's platform is? Do these guys ever live up to their promises? Was Bush going to be a uniter, not a divider? Was he No Child Left Behind, and he's left as many behind as he possibly can get away with? Everything he said, he's backtracked on. So, clean air, clean skies, it's all a bunch of lies. It's like dating. They'll tell you anything to get you in bed. They will tell you anything to get your vote. And then, what? You're screwed, blued, and tattooed, and that's the end of it. And I will call you in the morning, you never hear from them again. That's it. They court you, they tell you what you want to hear, and so, great. We listen to their platform, and they concoct these platforms that really sound like pie in the sky. And then, let's see, here's somebody... An Enid from Texas who says she Googled Enids and she got my name, and she hopes I don't blacken the name of Enid. There are not many of us. And then I get one from Bill, and he says, well, what about both sides, Enid? You never let a dissenter ramble on like you did with that twit Don. And then he goes on about Don. This guy still swears that our troops captured Saddam months ago and have him on ice until we found it politically advantageous to bring him out. This guy hates our country. He's a bitter Afro, and I use the word loosely American. I hear him all over the dial. We're always wrong in his eyes. You know, a lot of crap and venom, no solutions. And as far as Pete Coors, he has a lot of money. Sure. Is that a crime? Do you automatically pan him because he's wealthy? Arm yourself with some definitive arguments and facts, please. You say, what experiences he have, like that matters to you. The woman who spews, anyone is better than Bush. What experiences Kerry have? About the same as Coors. Well, no, Bill, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Mm-mm. Kerry was a decorated Vietnam guy. Kerry has been a senator for a lot of years. I mean, Coors has been the head of his family's company, but I don't know what else he's done. I haven't seen his I haven't seen his background, so we'll have to, let's see. He thinks we need a, you're just great at pointing out the problems, but you never have any solutions. Just your touchy-feely, pie-in-the-sky crap. I am a Democrat, and you're, and embarrassments. You're, not you are, while you are. So, Bill, learn how to spell your and embarrassment. I guess he means I'm an embarrassment. They need a regime change at noon on KNRC. Our party needs a voice on the air with a clue, or in your words, anybody but you, signed Bill in Denver. Well, Bill, I'm glad you're listening so well that precisely that you can quote so many things back. We are delighted that you're listening. Keep listening and keep emailing is what I would say, and you may want to comment about that. There is a book out by, and maybe I'm a book for some insight into the Coors family, who, and Pete, who comes off as a moderate Coors family member, is called Citizen Coors by Dan Baum, B-A-U-M. So does anybody, has anybody seen that book? These are just some of the emails that moi, your radio goddess, is getting, and I still don't know what to do about that second ice cream pie, but I guess I will figure it out, and I will report back as to whether these auditions worked out. Isn't it fun to be able to do something for somebody that you know? We were able, not me, but my friend Jill was able to successfully arrange some auditions for a very talented opera singer who's a friend of a friend that was very kind to us in Venice. So we hope something good happens out of it, and I will report back about that. Meanwhile, if you have a chance to see Merchant of Venice, it's very well done. And again, let me tell you what we have planned for later this week, Friday, Working Backwards, live from the Press Club. It's our monthly Denver Press Club show, baseball, the baseball edition, which is going to be kind of interesting because Joe says, Rockies undefeated so far. Does that mean they don't have feet? Defeated? Oh, never mind. Anyway, so that's Friday, and if we're inviting the public to come in, and anytime I do my shows live from the Press Club, the public is invited, so come in and have lunch. You don't have to be a member to do that when we're doing the show live. Tomorrow, Brian Greene is going to join us. His previous bestseller, The Elegant Universe, his new one, number 3 now on the New York Times nonfiction list, The Fabric of the Cosmos. So we'll be looking at the cosmos. And we're also going to be joined tomorrow by Laura Flanders. A lot of you have asked for her to come on. She's an Air America Talk personality, and she's written a book called Bushwoman, Tales of a Cynical Species. She knows all about Condoleezza Rice. So she'll be joining us tomorrow as well in the noon hour because we will all have some snide observations to make about Condoleezza Rice's testimony. Probably Condoleezza Rice will do very well. I'm guessing that she's very skilled here, and they are probably prepping her like crazy. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for producing today's show. Thank you, Sean McKenzie, for keeping us on the air. Thanks to all of you who called, listened, emailed, complained, had compliments. Doug Kellett is up next from 3 to 6 right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Let's have lunch together tomorrow, shall we? And discuss Condoleezza Rice's testimony in the 9/11 Commission. I'm Enid Goldstein. Do something generous. Have a great evening. I'll see you tomorrow back here at noon.
Time now for the 180-degree turn to the right. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Ziegenthaler. Bombs and a missile slammed into a mosque compound in Fallujah, Iraq. And our reports, about 40 Iraqis were killed. American commanders say they hit hard because U.S. troops are taking heavy fire from the compound. Fighting is going on in many parts of the country. West Virginia Democratic Senator Robert Byrd says Iraq is turning into a quagmire for U.S. forces.
Increasing the U.S. troop presence in Iraq will only suck us deeper and deeper and deeper. Into the maelstrom.
Federal regulators say they found no evidence oil companies are working together to drive up gas prices. They're still investigating. A gallon of gas now averages $1.78. I'll see you later on CNBC. I'm John Siegenthaler, NBC News Radio.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.